No matter what else happens in my life, I can take solace that I'm not Anthony Birch.
I don't know who that is, and he's we're about to go live here in a second.
He's the guy who wrote Borderlands 2,
yeah,
and did Hey Ash What You Playing and whatnot, and then he went insane and had a very public explosive meltdown.
All right, we are live and now.
Okay. Huzzah for being live.
But hey. He decided he wanted an open relationship,
mm-hmm.
and so he talked his girlfriend having an open relationship, and then she was getting laid a bunch, and nobody wanted to have sex with him.
Oh.
So he felt bad about that, so he decided, well, fine, I guess I'll open it even more and become bisexual.
Oh, dear God.
And then he decided that guys were all jerks and mean to him, and he just had a meltdown and, like, went into hiding. And all this, he, like, tweeted all this. Like, dude, keep this shit secret.
Oh, so this is all out live to the general public.
Yeah, this wasn't, like, stuff that people found out. He was sharing this information willingly, and everybody's like, you know, you're looking really sad right now.
Yeah, that's why you, if you're lucky enough to have the relationship, don't push it.
Don't shit all over it.
Don't push it. Just,
or even if posting the emotional breakdown stuff is always a fascinating part of Facebook.
Like,
or social media in general.
Yeah, in general.
On the bright side, Borderlands 2 is hilarious. But then he went insane.
Yeah. All right.
I'm Andy.
What episode is this?
Episode 1967.
1967?
Wow,
we've taken the lead.
We're cash left.
News is fucked.
197, I take it.
197.
Okay. Yeah.
Seven.
Coming up on 200, the big 200.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to do anything for that.
No, I thought we were going to have everybody who's ever been on the show.
So, funny story about that. I tried making the list. It got too long.
You think?
Well, you should just have a line. Every 5 minutes, you send a person in, you send a person out.
That pen seems like it's working well for you.
Yeah, I have my own.
Did you? That pen was working.
Well, nope. It's on the
floor it now. Was. It was working.
My name is Brian.
My name is Nathan.
I'm Jeremy.
You had to,
since we're singing.
You had to upstage me like
I
that?
Did.
You fucking prima donna?
I did.
Oh, man. Boom. I'm Andy.
Bringing it back to Andy again.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode Zappity. 197. Yeah, just cut right to the Zappities.
Yeah, we're done.
And we're out.
Now I got Phantom of the Opera song stuck in my head.
Which one?
Well, because I called you prima donna, and then I said that I was Christine Daae.
Oh, well, that's not the best song in the movie.
No, no, it's definitely a movie.
Movie.
Slash
movie.
Play. It's both.
Movie slash play.
Both exist.
It was, they're like, man, this movie is great. We should make a musical out of this one.
Both are good. Like, I will
say, the movie is a very well done
movie. I will readily say, not every musical that they make a movie out of is well done, but they did a really good job with that one.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot of versions of that, and some of them aren't exactly. I mean, there's like 50 million versions of that.
Oh, are there? I've only seen the one.
I saw a movie version of it, of the musical, but in like the early 90s, we rented from the what do they call those places?
Library.
Yes. But it was weird because they filmed a stage performance, mm-hmm. but it was of not the Andrew Lloyd Webber version. Like the plot was the same, but they apparently didn't have rights to any of the songs, so they just replaced all the songs, and it was crazy.
Was it top music of that era? Because that would be amazing.
No, like it was just like somebody decided, fuck this Andrew Lloyd Webber guy, I'm going to write my own Phantom of the Opera musical and do a stage performance and then film it and release it on VHS.
Well, that's not his. I mean, that's not specifically that version of is his, but not the Phantom of the Opera. I don't believe it's
something.
Well, the
only musical version of it is his.
Yeah. Okay.
He specifically talked to the Phantom. He got the rights from the Phantom. Yeah. And he was able
Billy Zane? He talked to Billy Zane? Yeah, he
talked to Billy Zane.
Dr. He's, Billy Zane?
Yeah.
He's doing well as the Colonel, though. I appreciate his performance as the Colonel so far.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Colonel Sanders? That's Colonel Billy Sanders. That's Billy Zane is now.
Wow. Well, it's changed like five. It changes every few months.
Yeah, like every couple months they switch it out. And is that on purpose now?
Yeah, I think
just,
so.
Like, failing with people.
No, it's part of their charm. Gimmick.
Not charm, but the gimmick.
Anyway. Yeah. So, what are we talking about today?
Announcements. Stuff's happening.
There's some event that's happening soon.
There's a Cedar Rapids event this coming Saturday.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's all that's happening this coming Saturday.
That is true. I bought tickets to see Guardians of the Galaxy this Friday at 7:30. I bought it like a week and a half ago.
Damn it.
And then today I was looking at my schedule, and I work until 9.
Oops.
Oh.
That sucks.
Oops. I'll get somebody to switch with me. Yeah. But I saw it, and I'm just like, I heard the Price is Right trombone noise in the back of my head. So, Andy, you can have my ticket and go with Raylene, and then I'll go at midnight.
I've got a ticket. I took the day off, And I then decided, like, it's probably going to be difficult to try for tickets later in the day. And I didn't try to get tickets for late in the day. I just tried for really early. So I'm going, at 9:45.
Oh, my.
In the morning.
Nice.
To go see it.
I was going to go early in the morning, but the person I want to go with couldn't get off work till later, so I'm stuck going, like, late in the afternoon. He's a putz.
So I might see if I can try to sneak into Brian's showing then, too, the one that he's going to.
I'm happy to be seeing a movie not on a Tuesday, because it means that it's worth it for me to bring my refillable bucket.
Oh, because it's not on a Tuesday.
It's not the free popcorn Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the hilarious thing about the free popcorn Tuesday is you can just go up and say, hey, give me, like, 6 of the free popcorns, and they just do it.
They just do, because what do they care?
They don't care.
No.
Like, so you can't walk up with the bucket? Pretend,
no, but I have gotten like 4 of the refills and just dumped them into the bucket right there.
Right in front of them, too?
Well, I went like 5 feet away to the end of the counter.
Okay.
I didn't stay in line. I just went, shuffled to the left, and then dumped them into my bucket. But I used to pretend. I used to be like, my wife and I. So we legitimately deserve 3 for me, my wife, and my friend. Now I just go, give me popcorn. 7 of them. And I just take them and shuffle away.
I don't see why they don't just fill up the bucket.
I don't understand why
the bucket is
you
not.
You just bring a garbage bag and a bucket, and you're just like, well, you can fill this up 12 times or fill up the bag, whichever you guys want to do, but this is unlimited refills.
Do you remember when I would bring home garbage bags full of popcorn?
And candy and all sorts of things.
That's my phone.
That is.
I used to work at a movie theater. In fact, the cheap seat movie theater that was over on the east side for the longest time.
Nice.
I worked there for a long time. And since we worked in the mall, we also made deals with other places in the mall.
The mall bartering system is fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
We used to trade popcorn and other stuff for like Cinnabon. And then we would also trade for pretzels next door.
Oh, yeah.
We ended up having Cinnabon so much at our household that I can't eat it. I don't think Brian can either.
Now I can, but it was. I mean, it took about 15 to 20 years.
What about the Cinnabon delights at Taco Bell?
Well, this is 20 years
no,
ago.
No, I'm saying now.
This is when Taco Bell sucked.
But now, could you eat a Cinnabon delight?
Is that different enough? Probably.
They're pretty similar.
Probably.
My love for cinnamon eventually overwhelmed everything, but it was definitely. But I mean, we were pretty poor. I mean, he worked at the mall. I worked at like Walmart. So like literally,
pulling down the big bucks.
It was literally like lunch, dinner was Cinnabon for like weeks.
We had Cinnabons go bad in the fridge.
Wow,
that's how many we've had.
That's a lot.
And then you brought home garbage bags of cookies.
Yes,
it was garbage. It was just like every couple of days, a garbage bag full of some place in the mall's food.
It was because it was the easiest, convenient container to bring it home in. It wasn't because I was getting garbage food.
Correct.
It wasn't a regular basis thing, but this last, my stepson's fiance volunteers at the Bratfest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when Bratfest is over, she brought home like 100 brats. Like, we literally filled our freezer with brats.
Yeah.
It's eating that shit for like 6 months.
Seriously, I don't know what it is. I like me some cold cooked brats. Just brats that you cook them up. Yeah. They're great. And they're great hot. But if you leave them in the fridge and then pull them out the next day, they're so good.
I can eat brats cold.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Obviously, once they've been cooked once.
But... Correct.
No, it's cold brats. They're all preheated.
Yeah. If you don't eat
not all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want the juicy shits.
No. Well, you would get the juicy shits. That is a fact.
Well, that's the only way I can poop, you know. After like a month, something's got to get him knock the stuff loose.
After all that Cinnabon, you need to eat a raw pork.
Yes. 3 weeks of Cinnabon, 2 days of raw pork, and you just rotate that out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you get a bucket for the blood. Just sort of.
Not the same bucket you get your popcorn in.
No, that would be...
Preferably not, but in a pinch.
It's still unlimited.
Free refills on both.
Also not the same bucket that Jason likes to use.
Yeah.
If there's blood in that...
You should see a doctor. So I
you're
do want
to... You're doing something wrong. It's just from quantity, not from anything else. It's just...
Yikes.
And that's why you don't try to expand your relationship.
And that's why you leave a note.
So I want to apologize to the folks that we tweeted out yesterday. We were going to try to stream some of the stuff at International Tabletop Day over at Pegasus Games. It turns out that their internet there is,
not fantastic.
Not fantastic. So I tried before going live, because I suspected it was going to be an issue, I tried running a test stream, checking out the bandwidth. It was amazing for about 17 seconds at a time. So it was like, this is good. This, nope, no. It's down. It's good. No, it's down.
When you posted the girls' podcast to Twitch today, it still had that as the tag.
Yes.
So I was like, International Board Game Day. I wonder what they're doing. Oh, it's just the girls talking about dildos. And close.
So Celeste was here.
They yeah. would have been talking about dildos independent of Celeste.
I don't dildos disagree. Will come up on its own. It's just she speeds. She doubles the speed it gets to it. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously going to be a
like
topic.
Literally. The email got into my inbox. I opened it. And it was just nothing but dildos. And then I closed it.
There's
that can be that's going to be for a lot of things, really. That's though.
True.
Are you sure you clicked on the right link?
I'm pretty sure. It was Jackie at the very least. I recognized her immediately as she talked about dildos.
I'm sure it wasn't Bilbo.
He was a Muse podcast.
Bilbo Baggins.
She's talking about the, yeah. Muse, the Muse guys.
Dildo Baggins. Just
Dildo Daggins.
Daggins.
Dildo Daggins.
Oh, and that'll be my poor name.
And that's announcements.
Yeah, it is.
Do we have a topic?
Wasn't your poor name supposed to be like your first pet and the street you grew up on?
Yeah, that's your stripper name. Stripper
okay, because I was
Firestorm McGee. That's a strange stripper name.
Suba 38th. Like, it doesn't work if you're born in Milwaukee.
Wait, your pet's name was Suba?
Named after Susan B. Anthony.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a dog named Suba. Suba 38th.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Jeremy, what's yours?
I'm trying to think. The first pet we ever had.
I remember this once. You were like.
It's a long time ago. I don't remember what street we lived on. I think we lived on Hemlock Street at the time. And our first pet's name was Oscar. So which order is it?
It'd be Oscar Hemlock.
Oscar
that just
Hemlock.
Sounds like a I Victorian like era author.
Yeah, yeah, I sound like an author. Oscar
sounds
Hemlock.
Like an author or a cop.
But the porn
or a
name,
vampire.
But the porn yeah. name I have best, which is middle initial and then street. And it went, the way we always played it was the street you lived on currently. So when I was in high school, I was White Stardust.
Okay, I remember.
Like, that's about. Amazing.
Your middle initial is white?
My middle. Well, middle name. Middle,
no, okay, because you middle said middle initial.
I did. I meant name.
But I'm yeah. Jesus. I was trying to remember what street I lived on.
In high school?
No, now.
Oh,
like,
now.
That's how fresh I am. Where do I? It worked because it's Old Post with my road, so nice. That actually kind of worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Stardust was solid.
George Old Post.
And that's
middle name is George?
Yeah.
I did not
after
know
my,
that.
After my uncle.
There you go.
Yeah, my Uncle George.
And that's the CID discussion on
no,
Battle
you,
Engines.
We gotta go over yours too.
Oh, I didn't even look at the Battle Engine CID.
God.
I grew holy up crap. On School there? Street, so it's yeah. not very exciting.
School?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and what, I don't know what my what first was, pet would technically be because I had a lot growing up. I don't know which
wait, pet
would
count.
Where do I go to see the
yeah.
CID?
No, we're doing middle name. We're doing quick. The porn name.
I thought porn name was School Street. Yeah, no, I'm not playing.
Porn name is middle. Middle name and
it's all
school
stupid,
and,
so.
And your street name.
What?
Middle name and school and my street name?
Yes. Jeez.
So
no.
George I Oswego Agamon?
What? Well, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this is stupid, so what's next?
So buttons. I was going to tell a story. Oh, the Portmanteau, the thing about the Stegodon, right? So, you know, Stegosaurus and Mastodon or whatever. And so you just take words and you shove them together to make up a new animal.
Okay.
You know, like there's the, what's the super big, it'd obviously be the Gator Battle Engine or Gator Colossal if they ever got one. The Dracodile, that's what it's
yes.
called, right?
Yeah, Dracodile.
You know, so I was thinking of the Dracodile and I was doing portmanteaus like that in my head, thinking of like words to come up with to combine. And I came up with a really cool one that was very like, I took two amphibian style words and I came up with Crocodile. And I was really impressed with Crocodile for a while because it sounded really good to me. And then I was like, oh, wait. I am literally the dumbest person ever.
To be fair, it does sound good.
It's a really good sounding name. Yeah. Like, it sounds pretty realistic.
I can't find the actual post for Battle Angel. Oh, changes annotated.
Yeah. But that's not where it is at all, actually. Yeah. But, oh, I guess change yeah. annotated. Yeah. The CID thing, somebody on the Convergence
yes.
Facebook page started a thread talking about how bullshit it was that they buffed the Signar ones and the Kador one, and they didn't buff the Convergence battle yeah. engine. And it's like...
It has the most changes.
It has literally zero changes. The Convergence battle engine?
Oh, Celestial Fulcrum Circle. Sorry.
Convergence battle engine isn't going to be on there because literally nothing changed.
Oh.
Nothing. Not a hit point, not a rat, literally zero
nothing?
Changes. It's
nothing.
Identical to it was a week ago. And it's still the best. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's a glass cannon, right?
It is, but it's a good glass cannon.
I mean, they're all good now, but it was just hilarious. It's like, I didn't make it better.
I don't know if I'd say they're all good.
Every list is two.
It's battle engines are interesting because I mean I like their idea of categorizing it because they had like one that was more of an offensive. They had sort of their support one. They had three in his Polsky. He had like three categories of battle engines that you know he wanted things to fit into.
Yeah.
Wow, some of these got a huge bump in boxes.
They're all bump in boxes.
Yeah. No, AFG didn't change boxes at all.
The ones that go up front got more hit points, but the end of the day...
The gun carriage, the Wintergard gun carriage, has 38 boxes now.
Oh my God.
It's a tanky one.
Welcome to last Wednesday.
Yeah.
I was busy with XGM, I apologize.
Wednesday night.
Okay, so here's an important question.
Are we going to have a sentence, or are you going to get to the next one? And it's like, oh my God.
Yes. What is gain focus power?
You get
power?
No more sentences what anymore, Brian.
What is focus
Brian?
Power it's, and what is Carapace?
Remember, this is what our life was like. What are your questions?
What is focus power and Carapace on my AFG?
Carapace is, plus four armor against shooting.
Oh, it's the rule that
you did lose a piece of armor.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that.
Well, no, you lost armor.
But that makes sense. Okay.
And focus power or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, it aims it to get
sniped. Why don't you download the fucking PDF of all the cards?
Yeah, there's a full PDF you could have just looked at.
I looked for it on here. I didn't find it.
Oh, my God. The whole thing fell apart.
In the home.
not even the PDF that they have. The PDF of all the cards I built.
Literally, models and rules references.
Oh, that seems like a
right
good place
there
to
in
look.
Rules.
Yeah,
that and makes sense. You got here where it says
Battle Engine CID cycle is probably the one I want.
CID. All right. And then there will be a PDF there that has
mine's
all
better.
The model rules.
All right. Mine's I'm better. Mine has the cards.
Oh, yeah. Well, Andy made cards.
Which is also cool. But I just wanted to carry on with your discussion now.
But like the gun carriage and whatever. Brian, you were trying to talk.
I think that extra hit points are nice.
Oh my God! Oh, I saw it coming! Yeah, you did.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
That was him.
I know, but... Extra hit points are nice.
So focus power is when a model uses normal move to aim, it gains plus two its range attack damage rolls at activation.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So it can get up to POW 20 or POW 18, I believe.
That's kind of cool. Okay.
But
Brian, you were saying.
Now, no joke for reals, Brian.
The extra hit points are nice. But anything that can one round a Jack is still going to one round a Coloss or a huge base model. That's not a bad thing. It keeps it alive from incidental damage. Because before, someone could spike like two rolls and kill it. So now it can at least survive that kind of nonsense.
You're talking about the Siege Animatrix?
Any huge base with more hit points. Okay. But what's interesting is like the fact that they're like a huge base. I feel that huge bases have a lot of disadvantages, which aren't bad. I mean, it's just they have a disadvantage.
They do.
It's not a negative to the game. It's just, you know, more things are going to get to it that can shoot at it. You're going to be able to get into melee with it. But it's going to possibly be able to counter and also engage more things.
Yep.
And the they have that, like, siege engine rule. Yeah.
The siege animatrix has dual attack, which is great. Being able to do range attacks and melee attacks is nice.
No, I was talking about as far as his disadvantages. Dual. The thing that the fucking dwarf
the
battle engine has.
The Hammerfall.
What's
siege,
the name of that
siege
rule?
Crawler. Siege
yeah,
Crawler.
Yeah, but what's the name of the rule?
I have it right here. It's I'm going to speak siege weapon.
Oh, yeah. It is siege weapon. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Where does it's weapon master against huge base?
Yeah, I don't think many things have that. Though.
It's pretty rare.
It and the Marauder, I think, are the only two.
It is super rare.
The siege animatrix, I think, is in a decent place, but the problem for that in Scorn is there's still no reason I would want to take that over just a beast. And I feel like when I'm building an army, if I build an animatrix, it gets powered up when it gets hit. So if anyone goes into it seriously, they're still going to kill it. So I still have to have some pain givers like whipping it.
Right.
And if they're whipping it and doing things to it, they're not helping my actual beast that probably need the help more. So it's kind of a... Or I can give it its own unit of pain givers, but then that's just points. I don't want to...
Couldn't you just, like, turn one, whip it when you don't really need the pain givers?
I mean, you got to kind of do it on turn one. You have
to basically... You go whip, and then, all right, you're on your own for the rest of the game. We're going to go take care of beasts.
I mean, you only go to three. If you have to, like, position... Just, you have to position in a way that they can whip it and then, like, walk, whip it, and still...
and not waste their move forward.
And
so
not
much
waste
want to
that.
Say whip it good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a negative. I just wish...
Cantankerous is new, though, for it, though,
no.
Right?
No, it's been...
And that's a good ability, too. I just wish that it made a presence to the army. I don't want to support it with my army. I feel Battle Engines for all armies should kind of, like, enhance the army a little bit. I just don't know if the Siege Animatrix is there yet. I mean, it's a nice piece. It does some shooting. I still feel if I'm going to spend 18 points, I better off just paying 17 or 16 on a better beast. End of the day. I mean, it's fine for what it is. I don't feel if it's on the table that I'm really taking a huge negative. Like I don't feel it's taken away, but it's not adding.
So you don't feel like they made it enough better to be worth the trade-off.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's for 18 points, I'd just rather have a beast.
Do you think any of the melee ones?
Well, it's interesting, for 16 points, I would almost take the Gator one, because the Gator one is the exact same gun as that one, and if I'm playing Rasheth, it's going to have the exact same gun impact.
Yeah, but the Gator one does literally, like, the Gator one's just, it has one attack a turn.
It's guns, D3 plus okay. one.
No.
It's
no,
D3.
It's flat D3.
Just flat, I thought D3. It was
D3. There's no plus one. The Gator one is D3. I know D3 because I always get one attack with it.
No, I thought I got you. No. I lied. I said you Gator. I meant the Meat Thresher.
Oh, the pig one?
Yeah, the pig one.
Oh, yeah, the pig one will fuck you in the face all
but
day
But that's
long.
What I mean. I could take the Meat Thresher for 2 points less than the Animatrix. I feel like if I'm taking the Animatrix with Meat Thresher, I'm doing something wrong, because the Meat Thresher is amazing and it's 2 points cheaper.
It's not faction, but I don't know how much you care about
faction
that.
Wise, if I'm playing like a Rasheth or something, I mean, it doesn't really matter. There's a few faction buffs that are nice on it, but I mean,
the Meat Thresher's passive, the exhaust fumes
is faction. It's faction only.
Yeah, yes, it is. But faction. Still, you can bring, you know, commandos or something with the Taskmaster.
There's a couple little things that might go around it. I think that one's pretty cool. I think Animatrix is close. I think it needs to like have some kind of if it has something for the army, something little where it just like pulsed to the army and helped the army a little bit. The Horn Blower hasn't done anything since Mark 1 on there, which always drives people a little bit crazy. It's just this Horn Blower model that has
there.
There's like no game rules Hungerford for it.
Talked about him on Facebook. He says that he officially plays smooth jazz, and the rule is cannot gain immobile.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's the rule the Horn Blower is bringing.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think the Horn Blower is bad. I just don't think it's good enough for I would want to. I mean, maybe if I'm going to goof around with some silly list, but I would never say, hey, I'm going to, you know, it's going to do this cool role. It's there, and it feels awkward in a list, and I feel like I'm always being a little inefficient with it.
Well, I can almost see... I can almost see the Siege Animatrix being similar to the Hammerfall Siege Crawler, where it could spit out maybe some of the small base guys, where they can jump off the Howdah or something like that.
The Horn could, like, grant Fearless or something.
Yes, it could grant Fearless.
Do you have any, like... Scorn doesn't have... like Arcane Shield or Defender's Ward, like a big...
They have Defender's Ward.
We have one caster. One caster has a D-Ward, but you want to put D-Ward on... If you're putting D-Ward on that thing instead of like
armor?
A...
Like, is it,
it's 10-19.
It is not... All right.
But I mean, usually that D-Ward is going on your Mammoth, it's going on your Ferox, it's going on something big or your Centrati. I mean, if you're putting it on your... it's like one of those things that makes anything better, but you have so many better things to make better than that.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
I mean, it's... Half the price of a Mammoth.
I mean, 21, that's true. And 20, well, the thing with the Defender's Ward, it's under Xerxes. Xerxes 1 Mammoth is so ridiculous because you have the Mammoth.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I Xerxes likes a Mammoth in general. So.
Yeah, so that's why. If you had other options to do that, maybe it wouldn't be a big deal. But, yeah, the Mammoth and Xerxes 1 is just
You don't beautiful. Have to count the boxes. There's a number where it says damage 36.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, like I said, it's
they got rid of a bunch of its rules that were...
By it, he means the Throne of Everblade, because that's what he's looking at now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The Animatrix, it mostly was kind of unchanged, right? It gained a lot of hit points.
It just gained hit points. That's
literally stopped. Nothing else?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not awful, but it's not compelling.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It went up in cost. That's the other
thing. It did cost.
Went up in one.
Which did screw up like, the two lists I was trying to play it in by that one point. It really just broke a couple
My
things.
Two factions have the least change, provably, because literally nothing changed. Yeah. And the Meat Thresher's got to be up there as one of the most changed ones.
Yeah, Meat Thresher's super changed. Holy cow.
And it's amazing.
It is. It's interesting that they made the gun better, but then gave it fewer attacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more...
I love D3 plus 1, because you're always guaranteed 2. If you can guarantee...
Well, it was 2D3.
True.
But, which is also guaranteed 2.
Guaranteed
2. 2-6 is better than 2-4.
Yeah. But doesn't it higher power now?
Yeah, instead of being a hand cannon, it's a POW 13 with the plus 1 against medium, plus 2 against large.
And that's why I think it went to... Because, I mean, you don't want to
get... obviously. Six shots I'm not saying that...
Yeah.
Either don't change the gun or change both things. And so it's fine that they change both things.
And Turn Up the Heat seems like a really good rule for that model.
Turn Up the Heat was a desperately needed model. A speed 6 battle engine, I mean, it couldn't get where it needed to go. In Mark 2, it wasn't as bad because it was cavalry.
Right.
So it could reposition.
Right.
And we also had Sprint as an animus, so it could actually charge something and then move 11 inches away,
which was a big deal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But it lost that, so... Getting the plus 2 speed was a huge deal.
I mean, mine's speed 6, but mine also never, ever, 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 ever dies now with Carapace.
Yeah, and yours also isn't a melee thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's the thing.
It's
the
a
melee
support
ones,
piece.
The melee ones in general, are going to struggle to be of value because, like we said, they were as removable as a heavy warjack. They're less maneuverable.
Yeah.
Like, they've just... The melee ones have a lot of problems.
I think the big issue is that they're just less maneuverable. You just can't get them to where you want them to go as compared to everything can get to it.
If they had the trade-off of, for its points, it's harder to kill, then you might take the hit on maneuverability. But since they're not really any harder to kill for their points, like, this brings them to parity. They used to be easier to kill for their points. With a couple of exceptions, like the AFG. The AFG continues to be stupidly impossible to remove from the table.
It's such a good battle engine.
Not the TEP. The AFG.
TEP is amazing, too.
Which is really good, too.
A lot of people kind of poked fun at me for making a TEP card. Because it's exactly the same. Yeah. But, you know, if let's say they add more boxes, then I want to be able to have the file there so I can make the updates for it.
I think it's reasonable.
The one annoying thing about the TEP being unchanged is the thing they point out was that it's hit super hard, mm-hmm. and it didn't get the hit point buff because it's hard to kill.
Right.
That's only true as long as Convergence players continue to only ever play in theme.
Correct.
So when a second theme comes out that doesn't grant a dozen shield guards, we'll just ignore it, or we'll have a garbage battle engine.
Because you're worried it's just going to be picked up from range shots?
Right.
What's its base armor?
19.
So, I mean, that's not going to get picked up incidentally.
Yeah, and it does make three shield guards for itself every
turn.
Because it has sack pawn, but you just snipe those things with some POW 10s and then shoot it in the face with the defender, and it dies.
I will say the AFG is a 10-18, always has been. Or it was a 10-19 before the Carapace rule. And even without the Carapace rule, I don't know that I ever lost one of those things to gunshots. And I don't play much shield guard.
What's its range?
Its range is dumb. So yeah, it's range it starts what, 18? Out at range 14, and then if it aims, it goes to a 16.
Yes, that's more than 10.
It's a lot more than 10. And that is a difference. That's a big difference.
It's also a POW plus 2 shield. On a 16.
Yeah, well, now it can be a POW 18.
It also has polarity shield.
But we were talking about shooting.
Hey, wait a second. Shooting. Did you say you've never lost an AFG?
I said I've never lost an incidental shooting.
Oh, okay. Because I remember killing one with a zombie.
You have killed, like, I have lost them, but almost never.
I felt so good getting around polarity shield. Having Alexia walk into its back arc, pop out a weapon master.
Well, she wasn't even in its back arc. She was in front of it.
She walked and then popped a guy into his back. Yeah, it felt real good making Thrall Warriors in its back arc.
But, like, the AFG is, like, you almost have to put, a couple of exceptions, like Alexia too, but you almost have to put some effort into losing that model.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's useful from so far back, and it has polarity shield. And it creates rough terrain. Like, you just don't lose that model.
Yeah. I mean, there are some pretty cool battle engines. I like
Cedar. The gun ones are all good.
Yeah.
I mean, the gun ones have always been good, and then they made some of the gun ones better.
And the Wraith engine's kind of cool.
Like, I'm not sure why the Storm Strider needed to be better.
Because nobody ever took it because it was garbage?
People
love the Storm Strider. I used to play against it a lot.
I don't know. I've talked to people
Like, Mark II. I haven't
you have to aim to get tokens now, which was frustrating. So now it's like, I don't know.
But you had to get attacked by an enemy to get tokens before. Correct. Like, which is more
But now it has hit points to survive a couple attacks.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Which is the ironic thing.
Sure. But yeah, people took it in Mark II in the theme force where they were good. The token's the issue.
Yeah, the theme force is where I used to see it in Mark II.
Not starting with tokens is the
issue. I don't see why some of these models just don't have... You know, if it has tokens that can be spent, just start the game with tokens.
Yeah.
Midwinter style.
So many things have so many gimmicks that rely on so many things. Just say if you have a model... Because as soon as you put things on it, people want to take it.
Yeah.
Just give it the tokens and game starts. It's not going to break the game.
There's Malice?
84. You'd
start with one soul.
With one. And that was still a big deal.
And that was a big deal.
I don't think the game would break across the board if things that could generate zero to whatever just started with zero to whatever. Just start with the max and then you could re-earn them.
Or have a rule like the Fulcrum where they just generate one a turn.
Well, here's the thing. The stupid Gator battle engine, infuriates me every time. It holds souls, and it uses the souls to do stuff.
Okay? Jason souls?
Yeah, it holds Jason souls, and it keeps a gag in his mouth so that he won't talk.
We all wish it held
It gets D3 souls at the beginning of its activation if it has zero.
But if it has one, you're fucked.
Yes. Meanwhile, the goddamn Sentry Stone, if it has fewer than three, gets D3.
Gets D3, which just makes more sense.
So why?
Yeah.
Like,
I can't think of a reason.
They're trying to simplify the objectives in one anvil. So just simplify this. If the models start with whatever the number of things they are, across the board.
Across the board. So like things that
100% of blood tokens in the game, blood token, whatever.
Yeah.
Like Vlad gets all of his tokens?
Yeah, Vlad gets all of his tokens. Every circle thing it needs.
I don't know if Vlad gets tokens anymore.
But like circle things that need tokens, everything that gets tokens, I just think the problem is,
and you're kind of hitting the nail on the head, is these things, they point cost them, assuming that they won't have them some of the time, but assuming they'll have it enough that they have to charge for it. So you're overpaying if you don't have them. But then as soon as something automatically gives them to you, you're massively underpaying. So yeah. They just give them the tokens, price them appropriately, just let people play with their damn fun models.
Or even just start with one. You know, like the things that have a cap of three and currently start at zero, you don't have to start with three, start with one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
something.
Yeah. Yes. Even, it's just like there's like Krix, I didn't even play Krix, but it was always annoying. Like Krix is a Soul Collection army. Oh, I'm fighting against three armies of Jax all game. So,
yeah. Well, especially Mark III.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Grimkin Theme Force where they start with, I think it's one corpse per thing, isn't it?
One corpse per thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last I saw of it anyway.
That just makes sense across the board. I would think it'd be good.
I think it's a good change. I think it's something
that I think Max would be great, but even if it's just one, it's a good compromise.
Yeah. I just think that the Sacra Vault needs to create when it has
fewer
than three. At least it can create some, unlike fucking
if one, if a model that costs, a Citrus Stone that costs much less than a Sacra Stone gets less than three gets to go up, it should be the same thing for the Battle Engine.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's frustrating.
It's just, you see enough games. It's like, I don't know. I can't see the harm in it. I mean, they might do good. Well, they might do what people want them. They might do what makes people excited about the model. That's the worst.
Everyone's upset about Tharn. Give Bloodpack their fucking tokens.
Yeah.
Suddenly, people will play at least a Tharn unit.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like I agree that that's a comfortable change. Vault. And honestly, part of the problem is all of those stupid little guys that can have tokens. If you play a bunch of them, it becomes a fucking nightmare if they are actually generating tokens. Like, I'm thinking of, like, a Zol Theme Force where you're, like, handing out Zols here and there and all over the place. And, like, some people use, like, a counter and it's fine.
Yeah.
But I watch people that are like, okay, so I'm using beads and I'm just going to keep track of which ones are my focus, which ones are my souls, and which ones are my souls on other characters. And then they move their caster next to two soul collectors and all of a sudden their caster spends 30 focus. Like, it's not actually that bad, but it's like at the end, they finish activating their caster, like, oh, I don't know if I just spent some souls or like what I just did. It's like
that's a bookkeeping error that you need to call your opponent on.
Well, and I do, but my point is like that is one problem if they proliferate too many things that generate these tokens.
Sure.
So what they should do is have a rule where you can only have one focus token on the table at a time.
No, we should make sure we. Hold on. You need to make sure
one second goes straight up. So as long as whatever it is, I don't think you want, but one.
Your focus tokens need to go on your cards, and if you're using War Room, you need to put them on your page as a War Room.
I know where you're going. I hate when people put focus on their cards.
God, I hate it so much.
I
especially if it's the first time I've played against somebody and I don't notice that they're doing that shit and I look up and their caster has like no focus on them.
No Fury is the big one.
No Fury. They're like, oh, great. All right, why would I do this? They're like, oh, you spent it over here. You know, there's seven of them on this card. Fucker.
Like, game over, you win, I'm done.
It's in the rules, too, goddammit.
Yes. That's funny.
It's in the rules. It's also in the rules that it's pronounced Kador.
Kador. I actually believe that it's Kador as well.
So not only so the Battle Engine's got a really exciting CID that's got some interesting feedback.
Krix got their CID.
What was in the main CID? I was it XGM all week.
It was in a different thread. There was a dev talk about the Krix. They basically made Mechathralis cheaper.
Okay.
They were talking about giving Bane Knights, getting rid of Vengeance on them, but giving them the +2 if they're base to base for armor.
Oh,
giving the Cav Vengeance. They still will not give those fucking the Bane Cav reach. They're like, well, we don't want to give them too much. The Bane Cav
have 1 inch and 5 speed.
Yeah. No. They're not 5 speed. I think they're 6 speed.
Go to 6 speed when they got rid of Curse?
They were never 5.
They were never 5 speed. Bane the Cav.
I'm talking the Cav.
Yeah, they were never 5.
They're 7.
The normal infantry is 5.
But anyway, they don't have reach, and it's just abysmal. Like, they should have reach.
Getting Cav models into anything when they don't have reach.
They were like, we don't want to do too much. I mean, fucking Signar Cav exists. You could give the Bane Knights 17 new rules. They're still not going to be Signar Cav. I mean, for fuck's sake, give some other factions some possibly good things.
I think that the problem with Stormlances is that it makes every other faction pissy about their Cav. Like, I'm not even saying that Stormlances are too good. I'm saying that there's a lot of disparity between Stormlances and every other cab in the game.
I mean, that's like
a lot.
So basically they talked about Bane still have Dark Shroud and such, Weapon Master. Okay. Yeah, Brian actually pretty much went over it. Their theme
so
for
there
a space
as big
gives
as they said there was going to be.
It's kind of a pretty decent amount.
There's a decent amount.
The Bane Riders lost their curse, so they no longer have that, but they could be affected by Tartarus's curse now.
Oh, which was the change in Mark III that Tartarus's curse no longer affected them.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And his curse is the speed one?
Or his is just speed and to hit.
Oh, yeah. So they went from a possible to hit buff to a possible speed plus.
So they did
buff.
Gain the.
It's always been both.
Theirs was always both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Curse is curse. Curse is always plus two speed and plus
Wasn't
two to hit.
Pretty fast.
If they're in curse range is the annoying thing.
Oh, because
they used to have to do it themselves.
Yeah,
right. So the guy, you had to have the leader be able to. So either he makes a charge order. He needs to successfully charge something to get into range to curse the thing.
Except
which
you can't
means
charge friendly models.
You can't charge friendly. So either A, the unit's already in range, so who the hell needs the curse to the speed buff?
Right.
B, he's charging a random other thing that's getting himself into range to help it. Like, it was just awkward.
That's finicky.
That he had a speed increase that was lower range than his melee threat already was.
Yeah, that's
dumb. So the Dark Host also basically made it so gives everybody... Prowl.
The theme force?
The theme force. So
Prowl is less good with the changes to terrain.
I think generally mostly all of them have ghostly now.
I think Tartarus got a
Bane.
I think Tartarus got a point cheaper. The UA to the Bane Thralls got a little bit cheaper.
They have ghostly.
Excuse you,
change.
Warriors. Bane
Warriors.
Warriors.
Sorry,
yeah.
Warriors.
Yeah,
Bane Warriors.
Ghostly when Mark III happened.
Bane Warriors still hit hard. They used to be 10-17s. Now they're like 10-15s.
They're cheaper now. 9-15.
9-15s.
9-15's not bad.
Yeah, the important thing is the Celestial Falcon is bullshit.
Yeah.
The Officer and Standard, I think, is cheaper.
Yeah.
What was the Officer and Standard? What was that at?
He was like a point more, I think.
I don't know what it is.
It is cheaper now.
Did they...
Wall of Steel for the Bane Knights, basically the... Well,
did
base
they
to base.
Did they get
they have tough with the Standard.
Bane Thralls.
That was the last...
The Bane Warriors
Bane
have
Warriors
tough
have
Bane
tough.
Warriors,
yeah.
Because they lost that, right? That was the big thing in Mark
III. They still stood up for free,
but they were
but
tough,
they didn't
so who cares?
It was like, we're only good with Terminus. Okay. Huddle around Terminus. We're all tough now.
Hey, did you know Crix has a tough battle engine?
Do they?
With Terminus. It's an undead model, and his rule doesn't mention warrior. It's just undead models gain tough.
Yeah.
And so the
there
Crix battle engine is a tough battle engine.
So Brian was right with the Bane Knights. They have Wall of Steel, which is base to base. They have extra armor. So they wanted them to be more of like the armored troops.
And they're really,
so
and then with the battle engine,
the they're
16,
before,
so
18.
The 20 with against guns with the battle
with
engine.
The battle engine.
Yep.
That's not terrible, actually.
No, it's, you gotta, that makes
especially
you,
with Prowl.
That like, makes you put a gun into them you probably don't want to put, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you gotta put a gun into them you want to put somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
But because their armor can go so high,
or you can just light them all on fire.
But they pulled off Vengeance because of that, because it's too good with
Vengeance with that high in armor would be strong.
Mechanithralls, instead of being 6'10", or 5'8".
5'8" for 10 guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
nobody's running infantry.
Nobody's running infantry, so it doesn't matter. They don't
and infantry guys.
Well,
so
didn't their combo strike go down by one?
I can
not in this change, but for Tomark 3.
No.
They lost their combo
strike. They got their defense back again, too, because they used to be 12-12 all the time. So that was what they were in Mark 2, back to 12-12. And then Brutes, I think, are defense 12 now, and they're still big.
And they're still shield guards?
Yes.
That's an amazing change.
Shield guard.
Yeah, that was a Mark 3 change, right?
Yep.
Not the CID, but...
BLT, he is cheaper, it looks like.
Yep, Tartarus got cheaper.
It looks like basically he's all the same. He's just got Curse Bane, so... plus two to attack rolls.
So there's just the one curse now, and it's on Tartarus.
Yeah.
But it affects everybody.
Just get plus two to attack rolls. Yes. There is only one person with curse
in
Crix.
In all the Bane stuff.
In Crix, and it affects all Banes. Yes.
Okay. Because that was a little confusing, too, that the Knights had it, and he had it, and it was...
Yeah, and it was
Riders are the ones that gain Vengeance.
So my CID...
Oh, the Riders got Vengeance.
And they're Mat 7.
My CID form is broken. It won't let me actually post...
it's a feature. Oh, it's because you're in a different graphic.
Because I'm an exemplar, and the exemplar, the people they most want feedback from, there's a bug where we can't actually post. So that's great.
You should tell them what you want
to
post.
The point is, people need to put back that the goddamn Sacral Vault should have the Wellspring rule, like the
That's good feedback.
Because the issue with the Sacral Vault has always been, you you want to be empty at the start of your activation because D3 is better than just one. You have a chance to gain extras.
Sure.
But it has two rules
that you want them
during your opponent's turn that rely upon having Fury on it. It has Arcane Vortex and the Flame Aura.
Yeah.
So if you spend all your Fury, you lose two-thirds of its rules. But if you don't spend the Fury, you're just stuck with one fucking soul
forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's a problem.
With D3 attack, like it's so painful.
So I have a question. How loudly do I need to yell on the forum about the AFG not getting more boxes? Pretty loudly?
The AFG is fine. Sacrivolt needs to be D3 plus 1 and needs to gain a D3 if it's at 3 or fewer.
You were just talking about how you never lost a thing to shooting.
Yeah, but then if you had even give more boxes and the Carapace rule, I'm just going to run two AFGs.
They'll give it two more hit points and they'll get rid of player shield.
Gee, it's almost like that's not what they want.
It is almost like that's not what they want.
It's almost like that's why the TEP was not touched.
Yeah, it is almost like that.
And the Wraith Engine didn't get many more hit points, but the thing is incorporeal, so they figured you can't make it too ridiculous.
You can't make it too, but I mean it did get four boxes, which is not nothing.
No it's not.
Four boxes isn't nothing.
It is a really cool thing.
So, but I legitimately didn't even look through all of the things that they changed in the fulcrum. That thing changed a lot.
It's pretty powerful. I think the circle
so it's got fury bank instead of fury generator, so their warlocks have to actually do something with it, which is good. But it leeches from beasts, so I guess they don't
ever constructs
yeah
constructs only. Okay.
Yep.
And then Veteran Leader Blackclad, okay.
Yep.
And then they got rid of Smoke because it was a dumb rule in the Flame Blast.
Okay. You got 10 extra boxes.
And then 10 boxes.
So yeah,
that seems okay.
It soothes your Construct Beasts. It's
soothing Construct Beasts is actually a really big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it uses those Fury to beat the shit out
of
you.
So you're never going to use it, like, you're never going to Fury Bank from your caster, probably. No. Unless you're playing it in a list with no stones.
Sure. But if you have stones, run three of them the first turn and then it reaches all three of them and it's full.
And then every turn after that is just making money.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool battle.
It's not even like one per war beast or whatever. So you could even just have Megalith and put three Fury on Megalith every turn. Yeah. You know, Geomancy boost hit, boost damage, and then yank all three.
And that's the one thing you mentioned. The magic. You can only boost rage. Can only boost the meal. You can't boost the gun. Like if you could boost the gun with that thing, that'd be
with which thing?
The animatrix.
The siege animatrix tokens are only for melee.
Oh, the tokens are melee only. Yeah. That's because
it's technically the beast itself.
Yeah.
If they made the guns somehow,
if they rename their wording so it could affect it, it'd be nice. I'd be much more tempted if I could boost those guns.
On the Siege Animatrix, right. Yeah.
The Apollo 13's on there is kind of, I mean,
it's rat 5, so it's hitting sometimes. It's just nice.
Can it boost the spear attacks or just the club tail?
The club tail.
Okay.
Yeah, the spear attacks are kind of, the weird thing though is, I don't know if it was pointed out there, they haven't listed it as Apollo 15.
Oh no, they can totally buy spear attacks, which are also not by the beast.
There's a type of one there, it's not actually a part, the spears aren't 15.
Spears are actually 11.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then why does it... Oh, that's weird.
Because the club tail is... the mount is 15. So.
Yeah, it says right there.
This attack has base strength 6, base pow 5, and P plus S 11. But then immediately above that, P plus S 15.
I think that's because they were accidentally using...
It was a cut. It was a cut and paste error.
Oh, okay.
I did not take it in effect when I made my cards, though.
No, that's fair.
What do you guys think about the objectives? They were talking about objectives in one of the dev talks too. What were
they? I think they were this week. They changed
there's only
one.
Three of them now.
There's only three. They went down to three. They felt six was too complicated, so they wanted to simplify.
And each of them only has one rule now instead of two.
Because
they used to have like something they did and then something that protected them. You know, like fuel cache made the aura and then also set things on fire when you hit it. Now so they only have the three. They have fuel cache that all it does is give one model continuous fire on its first basic attack.
That doesn't seem very powerful, but maybe
it's insanely powerful.
One, sprays and AoEs.
First sprays and AoEs.
That's not a bit. That's still sprays and AoEs are a basic attack still.
Oh, any attack that isn't a power attack is a basic attack.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, sprays and AoEs are pretty solid.
It was originally just gains continuous fire, and so something like the TEP with five sprays is like good times.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's good. The other one is give magical to one model. And then the third
first
one...
First basic attack only or all
No,
attacks?
All. Because that's not as grotesque.
It's not.
And then the third one is the... I forget.
Bunker, is
it? No, Bunker's gone.
Bunker's gone?
It's not the stand up for free one. It's another real passive. Oh, it's the repair beasts and jacks near it.
Honestly, if they want to simplify, I just feel they should go screw three types. Go objective and objective. It's got some hit points. Does nothing. It's just an objective.
That's what it was 3-4 editions ago.
Let's just go back to that. We had these, if they think six is too much and they want three that you do just three's this too, little yeah. thing.
Just a little thing.
Just yeah. a little thing. Let's not, don't, because waste, one of them our, don't waste our time.
The thing is, one's obviously going to be better than the other two. It's going to be the same thing as in Mark II where like 90% of people played the same one except in niche cases.
Tie it to the scenario. That's too confusing.
People, you know, fuck up. That's what it used to be like, and people would forget those special rules. They'd use rules from different scenarios.
The issue I had for them being too complicated is when you looked at all the rules for all those, they had them all grouped up alphabetically. So they had like immovable. I mean, like each card you would see the same list, but. The one that was changed would be somewhere in those four abilities.
Yeah.
And that was stupid.
The six we had were pretty okay.
I think they were I think it was just the order of the text.
I thought the six obviously tweaked the fire thing. I thought six with what they thought was pretty basically simple.
Not even the fire one. Like the six we had last Steamroller, I think were pretty dang good.
They were pretty solid. The only one I really disagreed or did not like in this edition, this first week's EID, was the fire one. That one was pretty egregious. I'm talking two weeks ago.
Some
people just take everyone takes the same two, and then it's like, and then you're playing friendly games, and you ask the person, "Well, what's your objective?" I don't know. And when you play friendly games, when you play
Steamroller, a friendly game, and they always just pick the one that's good against your list, which is also annoying.
Yeah,
because I used to run into that. Like, so, like,
I mean, sure, that's only friendly games.
Let's say these are the three, and you're just someone who just plays casually, and you're just going to sit down and be like, "Oh, you have Incorpora stuff. It's magical weapons."
Well, then you're just a shithead.
Well, yeah. I don't disagree, but
I mean, the thing is,
if you're sitting down to play a friendly game and you haven't pre-picked, why wouldn't you?
Well, then it's not a friendly game.
I just think what I've noticed is that
last week and this week, a lot of your arguments against game mechanic things are sometimes somebody's a shithead.
Well, that is true,
and those aren't things statement. With the game mechanic.
Well, but I think you guys are right. Like those three things are such that, I mean, even if they're just like, you know, we wanted to do something cool besides just sit there. Great, pick one of the three. Boom, done.
Every single one has some generic effect. Or give one objective those three abilities. And that's it.
Let Brian finish a goddamn sentence. Jesus,
he gets very excited.
He does.
Yeah, literally.
I need to get the bell again.
Yeah. Yeah, really. But no, exactly. Just let's go to one. Give it one to three abilities, and every single one is the same, and that's just life. Let's not have three that are so minor. Why don't they let us at least play test? Or go back to six. I don't know.
Six that each had two abilities, one that was a buff and one that was a passive protective ability, was fine.
Yeah.
And really, I saw four of the six on a fairly regular basis. I really did. There were one or two you never saw, and one or two you saw more often, but it wasn't super egregious.
I like the six new ones. Obviously, having to tweak the fire one, but I like the six that they showed, and I thought it was pretty basic.
Yeah, and tweak stuff like the magic defense one, maybe -4 range instead of -2, so it's more like a soulless escort, and then it's meaningful. And like you can tweak that, but it's boring.
I want three, six or one. I don't want three that do almost nothing. Don't even bother.
Yeah, that does seem kind of a waste of my time. And honestly, the biggest rule for that they changed, and I assume they didn't drop, is you can still, as a friendly person, just go right through them.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Being able to see through them as well. You know, it's this line of sight blocker to your caster.
That's not blocking him. Like, there's a lot of maps where I just sit down and I'm like...
There's a button right here that you can press.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Oh, wait. He'll get angry if you ever interrupt people.
There you go. That's a Jeremy defense
system. That's amazing.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I think that the three that are weak is a dumb way to go. It makes no one happy.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yes.
It makes no one happy.
I thought they were fine last edition. I six of them with an active and a passive ability was interesting. Fine. Yeah,
and I enjoyed during list building.
Even the six new ones had an active and a passive. Yeah. Was just different.
The first week of CID, they each only had one ability, not two.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. They lost all the passive ones, which I mean, maybe the passives are more easily forgotten. I don't know, and that's also why I definitely do not go back to having different ones where each scenario has its own unique one, because that was a nightmare.
Nope.
It was interesting in concept that you could balance the scenario around the objective, but people fucked it up constantly.
Yeah. That was bad times.
I guess I don't remember it as being bad times, but
I remember getting messed up a lot.
I'll defer. Yeah, I will not argue.
I definitely remember people fucking it up.
Well, and you probably had
to. I want movable objectives like grind ball again, where I can have Terminus is like suplexing a ball onto one side of the table. I enjoyed
TKing them with Ron as well. Was it a good roar?
Yeah, that's since you were like two or something.
No, that was okay. Long story. Try to keep it as short as possible. We were playing Warhammer Fantasy. There was a version of it that had dinosaurs in it, and John Service presented that as his Carnosaur. So that was he, because they didn't have models for the dinosaurs unless you were going to go buy a Lizardman army and just scrape up all the Lizardmen off the dinosaurs. So they encouraged you to go out and buy packs of dinosaurs at your local Walmart.
Oh, geez.
You know, like the 10 for for, you know, X dollars. And that was his Carnosaur. And so he had that thing on the table battling off against some knights. Just put a base on the bottom of him and just set him on his way.
That's amazing.
After the event, John gave him to me, and I've had him since.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So, but was there other CID stuff we want to talk about?
No, they just had a good week.
It was a good week. Except we disagree on the goodness of the changes to the...
But the CID didn't bring it up this week. They brought up other things. It was that they tweak the wording again on the proxy gate.
Sure. Oh, what's the latest and greatest?
I don't know. It is what it was worded.
You have to live stream every game, and Jason Soles will watch and be in your chat room, and he'll let you know when you've put too many on there.
It's a little more clear. You can do a few more things than you could before, but it's like the concept is they want it's all around moving a model at a time. So it's all about
everything's coming off in between.
But it's models. But it's not quite as bad. Where it's like you can only have like one widget, one thing. It's still
okay.
And they had to define everything a bit more because people were like,
"What's a widget?"
Well, they're like, "If you don't define it all, we're going to abuse it more."
They listed everything that is allowed to be used as a widget.
Yeah. So it's a whitelist, not a blacklist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably smart.
It's a lot more clear than it was. It's a lot more clean than it was. It's made the Muse podcast was very unhappy and they complained about it.
Then it must be right if the Muse podcast disliked it.
Well, it was funny because their threads
my phone.
Yeah, I was getting off the table in case it vibrated.
I muted it. It won't need to vibrate.
The example that they have is still frustratingly terrible to me, though. Like, they can change all the other wording, but their example is horrific to me. Because they say you put down a stick.
Sure.
And then a base.
Sure.
And then hold a spray template.
Sure.
It's okay. But if you set the spray template down, that's now two measuring devices and it's not allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You support it. You're on the side of this.
I was on the side of put down as much stuff as you want as soon as you move the model, they all come up, which is a different rule.
So then to lay down the spray template and get an accurate spray measurement, I have to lift up the stick, in which case I'm probably going to bump that proxy base and we're not going to know for sure if the spray was there or not.
It's two proxy widgets.
It's a base and a measurement. And so measuring the movement to that base and measuring the spray from the base are two different things.
And that's what they
could use two different widgets to measure the move, but only the one move and then the one spray. So like if I was moving 10 inches, I could put down a 4 and a 6.
Sure.
That's why they allow multiple widgets.
Okay.
But I can't measure the distance to the base and then the spray from the base at the same time, even though why the fuck not?
And that's what I think they gotta fix it, because that makes no sense to me either.
But that's their specific example, which means hey guys, here's a loophole in your rule which stops me from doing this reasonable thing. They lay out in black and white, you are not allowed to do this reasonable thing.
And I agree, but I don't think that many people agree with that. I think the disagreement is whether you can fully do one or fully do all, but I wish they could do slightly more. But yeah, we'll see what happens this week with the new. Maybe they'll have some dev talk. They were out over the weekend for a con too, so they weren't around as much. So that'll be another dev talk on
Let's talk about widgets for 2 hours again.
Oh my God. Did they let Souls post anymore? That's the important question.
He posted last week very civil on other topics. He was very polite and civil.
Was he? Did anyone jump down
He came down from on high and deigned to speak to us.
He spoke to the commoners.
Oh, you rabble.
Any other exciting topics?
I want to bitch about Hearthstone a little bit. It's not very War Machine centric, but...
I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone, so I'm on board with this.
Okay, so I don't know how many of our listeners, if anyone, play Hearthstone, but I play Hearthstone a lot.
not right now.
Brian and Andy do not play Hearthstone.
Off and on.
Andy's a big Blizzard guy.
If I got a free couple hundred dollars, I'll throw in Hearthstone.
You always have a free couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't put any money into Hearthstone.
The way to go into a new expansion, not put any money to get a bunch of cards, makes no sense to me.
Well, I got like 10 free packs.
Yeah, so you got 4% of the new cards. Yeah,
and then as I play, I get gold, and I'll get a pack every once in a while. I don't fucking get... I open the packs, and I don't even use that shit. I use like 4 total cards from the new
expansion. I want to play Hearthstone, I will look up what are good decks for a faction and go, okay, what I need these 20 cards, so I'll buy $100 worth of cards, and then I'll use Duff and Phil.
Have you logged in? Because they took a bunch of cards, a bunch of legendaries that were in basic, and rotated them out of standard, like which I've never done before.
Like 5 cards.
I had 3 of them. Yeah. They refunded the full dust cost of them all. So if you happen to have, for instance, Sylvanas Windrunner, you just have enough dust to create any legendary you want.
Oh, nice.
So like for me, I logged in and had 3,600 dust when the expansion dropped. I was like, oh, well, I guess I can make any 3 legendaries. That's exciting.
Let me log in real quick.
So I think that was a good change. And the ones they got rid of were the egregious ones. They got rid of Sylvanas because she was just flatly better than any other 5 cost would ever be.
Yeah.
They got rid of Ragnaros because he was just strictly better than any other 8 drop was ever going to be.
Yep.
And they got rid of...
They had a couple of little random things. They got rid of the dragon that was draw card and +1 spell damage. That guy was really good.
I have my dragon deck for my priest.
Yeah. Everybody used that in every deck.
Everyone had that in every deck.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
And then the one that gave stealth to all your minions went away.
Yep. I only have 5% battery life. When this is over, I have to go.
But yeah, a couple random things.
So anyway, I think they did a lot of things right with the set. I think those were good. I think they did in general, and I'm going to talk about the two major exceptions to that. But in general, the power level of the new cards and the new set is balanced. It's not super power creep. Rotating out the Grand Tournament is fantastic because Grand Tournament had a lot of bullshit cards. Like that goddamn 6 drop that was a 6-3 that major hero power doubled in strength.
Yeah.
That was really, really amazing if you were a warrior, or really, really amazing if you were a priest and everybody else just can go fuck themselves. Because 4 armor or 4 healing, but every other ability just added 1. So like the mage went to 2 damage, the hunter went to 3 damage. Like, it was dumb. So they did a lot of really good things. They fucked up in one big way. So they added these new quests. And if you play, you've played Ungora enough to see the quests.
Yeah, the quests are interesting.
The quests are a cool idea. And the idea with the quest is they're a 1-drop legendary that each class has 1 of them. And if it's in your deck, you always get it in your opening hand. So great, you don't have to worry about the fact that it's a legendary and you built your deck around it and you don't get it. Fantastic. You play it, and then it has a trigger. Do X a certain number of times, and then get a reward card.
The reward cards are all 5 costs as well.
Except the warrior, which is a 3 cost because it changes your hero ability. And so you can use the new hero ability for a total of 5.
Okay.
Which is an interesting thing that they thought of.
Sure, okay, that's neat.
Which is cool. But yeah, other than that, they're all 5 drops. Some of them do, like the priest one is an 8-8 5 drop that changes your hero's health to 40. In order to trigger it, though, you have to play 10 Death Rattle minions.
Yep.
Which isn't impossible, but takes you some time and some effort and whatever. It's a good quest. The mage one is terrible because you have to play 7 spells that didn't start the game in your deck.
So you have to do a lot of Babylon Book and stuff like that.
Which you have to do a lot of stuff. And then there are random spells that may not be any good. And then the bonus is take 1 extra turn.
Yep.
For 5 mana. So you spend, likely, if you're going to trigger it before turn 10, over half of your mana to get 1 more turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, not very good. The problem is 2 of them are busted as hell. The most egregious one is the Caverns Below.
What's the other one?
The Warrior one is really good.
Okay.
So the Caverns Below. The quest goal is play 4 minions with the same name, and the reward is called Crystal Core. So the reward is a 5 drop that makes every single card you have on the table, every single minion you have in your hand, and every single minion in your deck a 5-5. Unchangeable. You can buff it, it's still a 5-5. You debuff it, it's still a 5-5. It's just a 5-5. The problem being that the rogue has access to at least 4 different cards. They can play 2 of each to bounce minions. As well as there's a minion in the new set that just gives you 2 of the same named minion. So you play it, you get 2, you bounce it once, you play it again, and now you have 4 in your hand of that other thing to just play and trigger it.
Yep.
It's trivially triggerable by turn 5. It's triggerable mathematically. Nathan and I figured this out on turn 2. You could theoretically trigger it on turn 2, and then the whole rest of the game, everything in your deck is a 5-5, most of which are charge drop 1-1, drop charges.
Yep.
It's horrific to play against.
Like, it should be 7 or 6 or something,
not 4.
Meanwhile, the mage one should be 4.
Should be maybe 5.
Maybe, like, but not 7.
But not 7. The mage one...
4 is absurd.
It's absurd. And the problem is it affects your stuff on the table. So you just played, say, four of the same card out that was a 1-2 for one, and then you just made them all 5-5s. That seems okay.
The fact that it affects the stuff that's already out and it's a constant ongoing number and not just their default number becomes 5-5. Mm-hmm. Like, if stuff when summoned is a 5-5, it would be less egregious, yep, right? Because then I can polymorph it, or I can, you know, change its attack to one. I can play around.
You play Paladin, and then you're like, oh, they're all attack one now.
The concept of counterplay.
There isn't one.
There isn't one, there and isn't. That's the issue, is games aren't fun when there isn't counterplay.
And even if they made it a 4-4, there's a lot of things in the game that top out at spam damage 4. So, like, Firestorm tops out at 4 damage. There's the most of the, like, easy removal in the game is 4, maxes out at a 4 damage.
Yeah.
So they're just already above that 4 damage mark, too, which is atrocious. So that one's completely busted. It's a huge problem. The other one that I think is probably overly strong and will probably need to get looked at is the Warrior one. The Warrior one is play 7 taunt minions. And they gave the Warriors some amazing 2 and 3 drop taunts.
Including a taunt minion that discovers a taunt minion?
Yep. That one's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And they're still in there. There's the 0/7/2 drop, which is amazing for that deck. And they gave them a 1/2 poisonous taunt for 2. Like, there's some amazing Warrior taunts. And so you play 7 taunts. It gives you a weapon that's a 4 damage with 2 uses. And then changes your hero power to Ragnaros. Your hero power is deal 8 damage to a random enemy. Rest of the game. Just forever, doesn't matter. Like, I play that Warrior Taunt deck, and the only thing I lose to is the stupid Rogue Quest. Like, outside of, like, there's some counterplay with the Warrior deck, like, you can still lose, but it's really strong.
Yeah.
The Rogue deck just straight rolls people. Like, unless you just draw terribly, you win. It doesn't matter what you're, you don't even care what your opponent's playing. Don't even need to look at their deck. You just don't care. So
I just beat one on the way over here.
While you were driving.
Where the only reason I won is because they left me at 4 hit points, and they got the quest, and then they dropped 2 pigs, and the pigs charge slammed in me, and the next turn they hit me with a pig, left me at 4 hit points, and then dropped. They played 2 cards. The first of the 2 was one that comboed put a minion back into your hand,
and they would have won.
They would have won because they would have redropped the pig and done 5 and more damage. Instead, I fire bolted them to their face.
I had a single pig do 20 damage to me in a turn in the Rogue deck. So they played it. They made it on the turn that they got the 5-5. Then they had 2 Shadow Steps in their hand. So it did 10 more damage to me. And then they played the combo guy that bounces him. And so he did 5. I was just like, oh, that one pig did 20 damage. That seems fair and balanced. I don't want to burn the game down. Yeah. Brian just got 4,360 dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Are you less unhappy about the set now, Brian? Do you want to play now?
I'd still with $100. I'm not going to play it. It's still.
I mean, that's fine. But you did still just get 4,000 dust.
Yeah. Which is, I mean,
which is cool. It's really cool.
It's respectable. I'm not gonna.
Look at your face, and you were more than mildly pleased.
I'm amused
because they refunded the dust for everything that was a standard card that they rotated out.
Which is very cool of them to do.
Because those cards are still legal in Wild. You can still play whatever you want in Wild.
Yeah. Well.
So anyway, I just wanted to talk about Hearthstone a little bit. I've been playing it a lot. I've been really enjoying it since Un'Goro came out. And the Caverns Below is bullshit and needs to be nerfed immediately. But other than that, it's a really cool set. And actually, all the quests are fun to play. The Druid one's not OP, but I just enjoy playing the Druid one, which is play 7 minions that have 5 attack. Yep. And it's cool that they like introduce the minions that are like 5 ones, that are like a 2 or a 3 drop, just to help trigger that quest.
Zappity.
So anyway, I just want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I like the adapt mechanic in this new expansion as well.
Yes, adapt's a good mechanic.
And yeah, it's a shame that a couple broken quests are overshadowing the interestingness of the adapt mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the reward for the, I think it's Paladin. The Hunter.
The Paladin, because the quest is play 5 spells on your own minions.
That's right.
And then the reward is a 5 cost that's a 5-5, and it adapts 5 times when you summon it. I don't even know adapt.
No.
Adapt is, it gives you 3 choices of a buff to the creature.
Okay.
So it might be +1/+1, it might be +3 attack, might be +3 health, might be stealth, might be immune to spells, might be wind fury. It's just you pick one of these 3 and they're random choices.
Yeah.
And so you just get the choices 5 times with this guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Divine Shield's an option. Like, yeah. they're all cool. So anyway, I would say that they did a really good job. If you haven't played Hearthstone in a while, but you used to enjoy it, and like I told Brian, you just got a shit ton of dust, so log in, and maybe that will pique your interest into actually playing Journey to Un'Goro.
Just, you know, quit whenever you're facing a rogue that has the Caverns Below.
Yeah, if you play a rogue and he just plays the Caverns Below on his first turn, excellent. You know you lost that game. You can just log out and then go.
Well, at least in those, just rope
every turn.
At least in those games, well, you rope every turn, or if you have a quest where, so you, because sometimes, I will say, one of the nice things they did is they, instead of quests where
win with Rogue, win with Shaman. They have like play X amount of cards, yep, play
that's
these.
A good change.
And they did that because people that were getting back to the game couldn't win because they needed to get the quests. They just needed the gold to buy the packs to be able to
compete. And you can cancel quests now too. So if you get one that you just can't beat, just exit and it'll replace
it. You could cancel that one before. That was
you could always do that.
You can only do it once, I believe.
Per day or something.
If you end your turn and you're at like 4 hit points and your opponent has a 5 attack beast sitting there, so you know you've lost, don't concede. Because, you know, I have a play cards quest, dickhead. Let me play 2 or 3 cards before I attack you. I'm not going to rope. I'm not going to taunt you. I just let me play 2 more cards. I want to get my fucking quest.
I will say that if I'm playing someone and they reasonably are just playing out cards, but if somebody just is sitting there, it's like, nope, concede. Yeah. Thanks for playing.
Sure. But with those card play quests being there, like, I just don't concede. I mean, if somebody ropes on me, I will, like, and it's blank, like, turn one, like... They play a one coster and then they just sit there and they rope. I will rope every fucking turn from then on. It is on, asshole. I'm just taking. I'm just hiding in the stock room at work. I'm not doing anything important. Okay, fucko. And it's like I did that to somebody. Like I roped and then the next turn he was really fast, so I was really fast. And then the rest of the game he never roped again. I'm like, that's right, asshole. Like you stay reasonable, I'll stay reasonable.
It's a friendly game. Let's have a good clean game.
Yup.
No punches below the belt. But yeah.
As many widgets as you want.
Yeah, as many widgets as you want in Hearthstone. No limits.
Do we have any Zappity Grimbles today?
No.
There's one in the chat that says...
We had a Facebook one or a Twitter one.
Oh, well, shit.
He can look those up while we do the chat ones.
No, we don't have any on Facebook because Facebook had a fight with Twitter, I think.
Facebook had a fight with Twitter?
Well, something happened where stuff that we were posting over on Twitter was not making it over on Facebook.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's weird.
I noticed that was with the girls, too. So I have to try to figure out what my username and password is for the account that the Lost Aspect gals have to manage their page. Because the way Twitter works is you can only have one Twitter attached to...
One email.
One female. Or one,
one female.
Yeah, one female. to one Facebook account. So I had to... I can't actually have my Major Tusk one attached to my name because I have attached to... I have a Crippled System one attached to my name to post onto the Crippled System page.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I have 3 different Twitter accounts, but only one of them is set to automatically go to Facebook.
Correct.
And you had some problems.
I did. I did. Yes.
So somewhere in there is the settings on Twitter reset with Facebook.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So it wouldn't actually post post anything in there. So
that happened to me, and then my phone hit the wall several times.
The Zappity Grumble in our chat is similar to Zappity Grumble that was on our
Twitter. There's 3, but 2 of them are the same.
All right. So go crazy on them. Read them, somebody.
Oh, and I had one somebody sent me in a chit-chat.
Okay, I'll read the first one.
We can also talk about something that happened on Twitter earlier on.
What's that?
I'm curious. We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Okay.
All right.
Are you guys excited for the new Derelict Ship expansion for Shadows of Brimstone that comes out this week?
It looks pretty cool, but I won't have it for months because it's part of the Wave 2. I'm going to get the final wave. But the Derelict Ship does look pretty cool. Some cool new monsters. It's another Outworld.
It's a new world.
Okay. It's a new Outworld. It's, I mean, they have 4. That'd be the 5th Outworld. There's even a 6th and 7th one coming in the Wave 2. Nice. Maybe only 2 coming. But I it looks very good. The monsters look really cool, it's like a derelict spaceship, so it's all sorts of really creepy things. But I probably won't have it for 2 or 3 months.
Hmm. I think probably one of us will end up picking it up.
I backed that game in 2013.
Yeah, you did. Zappity.
Crumble.
And then the next 2 are basically the same.
Blood Bowl aside, what is your on deck miniatures game? And then the second question is, what mini game outside of War Machine Horde? So kind of the same question. So not counting Blood Bowl, not counting War Machine, what is our favorite miniatures game is what I'm getting from that.
Well, the new game I was trying out, it's Rune Wars from Fantasy Flight.
Yep, that was fun. I played a game with you. That was
I have a few of the core games, so I can kind of play any kind of list. I'm just waiting, I think end of May or during May, packed for that come out. In June, like some new models come out for it. It's a fun game. I mean, it's rank and file, which is not much of right now. Kings of War is a rank and file game. But outside of like Kings of War, and that's hard to get. Fantasy Flight.
Fallout. There's pictures of a Fallout minis game. That's
all
that
matters. Yeah, but it's not out, and it's going to be
skirmish. Rune Wars isn't again. Out yet.
Rune Wars is out.
Yeah, it did actually get restocked.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Batman, there's a Super Marvel.
I've heard the Batman one's really good, too.
Yeah, but I mean, but I just like, I like the Rune Wars because it's rank and file, and I love rank and file, and the way it plays is it pulls upon the world that they've created for the Runebone world, and it played fun. It was a fun game, and I look forward to in our game. Like, I'm bored. Had 10 people there on their opening night for it with some that's stuff. So it's a good sign for the possibility of that game.
I'm sad that I missed the opportunity that like the place, the period in time where there was a Mech Warrior game that got heavy play. The miniature game, because what made me actually play Privateer Press was when I used to play Lord of the Rings, the card game, not the what is it now? It's a living card game, but the collectible game, the one that was like had tournaments and stuff. I used to go to tournaments for that all the time, and our local game store the same night as Lotar was also MechWarrior Minis night because Lotar takes up no space, and so I used to see them play. And I was like, that looks so sweet, and like that was kind of why I decided to try out War Machine when I got up here. It was because I moved, and so all the people I knew that played Lotar, I didn't live near anymore. And I was like, I'm going to try the miniatures game because that looked really cool.
Are you talking about the HeroClix ones? The HeroClix style ones that are like pre-painted?
The one that I saw play, they looked pre-painted. I didn't play it, so I don't know for sure, but they looked pre-painted.
I think if we're looking at about the time period.
They
I
had
think
like dropships and stuff that were like this big. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It looked really sweet. But anyway, that's my vote. Just even though I never played it, that's my vote because it just looked so cool, and I just love the Mech Warrior.
There's like a Walking Dead mini game out. They've been playing it on board, and the Fallout thing is coming. There's a ton of fucking mini games, and a lot of them actually have pretty good rules. It's actually kind of
good a good time bad. For mini games. Yeah. It hurts all of them though because that means that there's more competition for all of them.
Yeah,
it's a little bit funny.
Yeah, although like as long as you're okay being a more niche one, like you have pockets of fandom. Yes. You know what I mean. So if you manage your overhead and you understand. And you don't make a million
units.
You're like, you know what? 50 people are going to buy my game, so I'll just make 50 of it, and then you sell 50, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're aware of that. If you're like, oh, I'm going to come out with the Buffy the Vampire Slayer minis game, and there's still some Buffy fans out there, so it'll sell. It's not going to be the next Warhammer.
No.
You'll be okay.
Well, to be fair, being the next Warhammer is still... Like, Privateer is one of the closest... Oh, actually, that's not true. Malifaux is doing really good, and Guild Ball is doing really good, but
nowhere near as good.
Nowhere near as Warhammer.
No, but I'm saying none of them are even close to Warhammer. Yeah. Like they're like you could make an argument that Guild Ball is hurting Privateer, and you could make an argument that Malifaux maybe is hurting both Guild Ball and Privateer. But none of the three of them are even impacting Warhammer sales.
Isn't Malifaux basically dead? Does anybody even play that shit anymore?
At least in our area, it is.
In our area, it is. But I still hear about it on the internet.
There's that whole issue with like the owner of the company was telling everybody that they are all fucking sucked and should die.
I
missed
didn't
that.
Hear any of that. But you heard it on the internet, right?
No, he was on the internet. Like he made posts that were just
so
like,
you're saying he's like Souls.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you got?
I heard the Grimkin is the nail in the coffin for Malifaux.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not gonna get comments.
No. So this is just idea and thoughts on this, and I think it's kinda neat to see what you guys would think. This is really peeking around here.
It's a long post.
It's not that long. What would you think of a tournament format where the players got to choose? They either had two standard 75-point lists, or they could bring one 75-point list and get 40 points of specialists.
What was A?
Two 75 lists, and they're locked in stone, or you can one list it, but then you get specialists.
And a lot of them, it sounds like, in his idea.
40 points, which is, I believe, what it is in that standard specialist level.
Yeah, but
I'm
just saying, it's
level.
A significant amount of specialists.
Yeah, it's the standard specialist level. To Masters, where that if you limit yourself, you gain access to specialists, but instead of limiting yourself to a certain pool of casters, you're limiting yourself to a single list, is the gist of it.
It'll work for some factions more than others, I assume.
I mean, can you go? Well, I suppose you're also limiting yourself to a single caster.
Limiting yourself to a single caster.
You're limiting yourself to a single caster. I mean, you can replace almost half of his list, you know, because in general, you're going to have about 100 and some points. So 40% of your list is replaceable, is transmutable.
It'd be interesting to try testing out. Maybe try running an event with that
the
style.
Funny thing is, you're literally the people, if you choose to run an event like that, then anyone who wanted to run. Like Masters or whatever, like they're limiting themselves even more so because now they only get you can run any caster, but you can't have two lists with specialists. So it is an interesting.
Well, sure. Like the format wouldn't also give people the option of bringing two ADR casters.
Basically,
everybody
would be bringing one list with specialists.
I think that's
you
what,
don't you think
I,
so. You I don't think people bring two lists to have. Because you technically have broader options if you bring two lists.
Oh, no, what I'm saying, though, oh, so you're saying that both of these are options for people to bring to an event?
Like, same event? Yeah. When you come to the event, you personally either bring two 75-point lists or one 75-point list with a 40-point specialist sideboard.
I feel like there are some
casters. Each player independently chooses that one of those two things.
Sorry. I feel like there are some casters that are banana strong with specialists, and that's why they're not on the Masters ADR list. And they would just be, not in every faction, but in some factions there are casters that are so damn good that if you just bring that one caster with their 40 points to answer any questions, you roll most tournaments.
You don't think that people are aware of what casters there are, and if they choose to bring two 75-point lists, they can have one of those lists be just shit down that guy's throat?
I mean, the problem is you have to be able to do that and also answer questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's the problem, right, is you can only bring so many answers, which is why sometimes it's easier to bring questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I have concerns that there are certain casters in the game that might break that format wide open.
It's a very interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea, though. And I could be wrong. Maybe there aren't any casters that break that format wide open. There are a couple in my mind. Like, I feel like Ron with specialists is pretty strong, but he's been on ADR before, so it wasn't broken, theoretically. Haley 3 was on ADR when she first came out, but she's bananas good. Seems like she'd be really strong with just specialists just for funsies, but...
But then you're only bringing Haley 3.
But then you're only bringing Haley 3, so maybe that's okay. Circle players seem like all they want to do is bring Wyrmwood anyway. So maybe all Circle players just bring Wyrmwood.
But what does Specialist really do for Wyrmwood? Yeah, I think Wyrmwood's pretty well polished already.
I mean, that's the thing, is like I don't know what you'd change in Wyrmwood, so... Yeah, maybe it's all right. It's a fascinating idea.
I'll run one.
Yeah, there you go. It's a fascinating idea.
Bluff.
That's it. The chat seems interested in it.
Yeah, the chat got very chatty all of a sudden.
So, who did it?
Who did what?
So there was an event that happened earlier today over Milwaukee.
There's an event in Milwaukee?
Not an event. Over at Travis's house.
What?
Travis played a live stream event with 70 Mechanithralls against somebody. And somebody who has access to our Twitter, which I think all four of us here...
Yeah, but I haven't...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
...made some comments about...
somebody else Coach apparently also
I played
access.
Heroes all day with...
On Heroes with
I
Brian.
I was working.
Yeah.
Which means someone else has access to our Twitter.
And my phone's at 1% battery
That's
right now.
That's terrifying.
Or Andy did it.
Or Andy did
it. No, I did not. I did not. Are you guys kidding me?
I'm 100%
serious.
I'm 100%
serious.
What have you been talking about?
There was a bunch of
I hung out with Katie
about,
from when I woke up until she left at 2, and then I've been on Heroes of the Storm from 2 until I got dinner, and then I came here. I did not have time
to I logged on
to
Hero,
comment.
And I bought the expansion. I bought the Assassin bundle, because it had the most characters I didn't already own, and then I opened all my packs, and I got two legendary skins.
Nice.
One for Kerrigan, who was in the Assassin
That's
bundle,
kind of awesome.
And one for the Tanky Zerg with one arm.
Tanky Zerg with one arm.
Really big dude.
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Is it Dehaka or
Dehaka?
Dehaka. Dehaka. I got a legendary skin for him, so I bought him with some of the gems that they give you, and then I logged
out. I have the Mecha.
Yeah, it is a Mecha Dehaka, the legendary.
High five,
Mecha Dehaka buddies.
Yeah,
I bought the tank bundle because it had the most things.
And Andy wouldn't play with us today.
It doesn't matter because I have Zagara and the Lost Vikings, and they're the only ones I'll ever play as.
We played AI against the Lost Vikings, and all the AI does with the Lost Vikings is they all three run together all game.
No.
Like, they never are more than a foot and a half apart.
One per lane, baby. One per lane. Jump back. That's how you have to play them, and you just have to know. Yeah. You're just in there lane controlling, killing dudes. A hero shows up, you just run away, because you ain't going to kill him.
Yeah.
So, literally, someone hacked our Twitter? Mm. What did they post, Andy?
I will do some discussions after the podcast.
Oh, dear.
Okay, then.
All right.
It's all up there. So
you left all just be curious about it.
So everybody else gets to know what was tweeted except for us.
Except for us.
Because literally the only three people in the room that don't know. Everyone online.
Someone knows. I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out who it was. Yeah, it was somebody there. It was somebody else.
What
likes to swear 24/7?
All of us.
Who said FAU can go fuck itself?
I mean, I have said that on multiple occasions. I also don't even know how to log into our Twitter anymore. I got a new phone, and I couldn't log into our Twitter if I had to.
Unless I was phone tweeting, it wasn't me.
Like phone. Yeah,
this feels very Brian. This feels very, right.
Well,
very.
I have no power. That it was
Brian. FAU just shows us how to break every new other newscaster. Shit gets old.
That sounds like last week's conversation. Are you sure this isn't from the past?
No, this is from 50 minutes ago.
Yeah,
Minutes ago. We were all sitting in this room for 50 minutes.
No.
Yes, we have.
Yes, yeah. Provably have.
What's the timestamp?
Yep, somebody's been tweeting.
Not us.
Yep. Brian has been playing with his phone.
Brian has been playing with his phone for the whole time.
I've been playing Hearthstone in here. I have.
No, you've been tweeting this whole time.
I don't tweet.
I think we found our guilty party.
What's a tweet? What?
No one believes you, Brian.
If an FA2 model is too good, these models can be adjusted. No reason to use the defense for FAU being fucking lame. Swearing 24/7.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Sorry, I said that wrong. Hashtag swearing 24/7.
I don't get the big deal about it.
What, the FAU?
Yeah. No.
He gets the big deal about it.
I had no idea what that was even under. I just saw Cheddar Caveman was whining. And I responded to his whine. I didn't even know what the initial start was. So
the initial start was Travis basically posted that he played. He's been streaming games on Sunday afternoons.
Non-Euclidean Nick's theory is that Andy tried to ban him on Twitter and accidentally made him an admin.
that's quite possibly true.
Yeah,
FAU. Okay, I didn't tweet it, but I will agree with it. FAU is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I had no. I simply responded to someone's tweet, not knowing where the starting point was because I didn't care. Chad said something stupid, so I'm like, Chad, that was dumb. Bro, see, last time
you corrected Chad every time he said something stupid.
Oh, so when I said it was like, why were you responding to Travis? Yeah, like I had, so that's why you.
Yeah,
like,
I was confused. But I didn't respond to anything of Travis.
Jeremy corrects Chad when Chad isn't even the person who said it.
That's true. To be fair, the person that said it was a retard. It just wasn't Chad.
I like that somebody was Dan from Chicago. Dan from Chicago, that's his handle, said something in our thread, and somebody responded like, what kind of stupid arguments are you Wisconsin people making? Like, his handle is Dan from Chicago. Chicago, Illinois.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was confused because I had not. I had no idea.
We now know who the culprit was.
Yeah. All right. Because I technically did not respond to anything Travis had said. I was just yelling at Chad.
Because you didn't respond to both Travis and Chad.
Well, when you respond to a Twitter thread, it responds to everyone.
Yeah.
This right here is like if somebody's like, who killed that hooker? And we're all, we didn't do it. And then Brian's like, oh, I didn't know she was a hooker. If you said, who killed that woman? Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I mean, obviously it was me. I thought it was an escort.
I thought she was a stripper, not a hooker.
Yeah. Completely different.
Tall girl.
They're a hooker when they're in the trunk.
When they're dead, they're just hookers. Raylene had that as her ringtone for a long time. When they're dead, they're just hookers. The managers at her work made her change it because it was going off in her office, and they're like, you can't have that.
So last night I was playing WoW, and I saw Nathan log in to play Twilight Struggle, and then I saw a tweet immediately after that from Raylene saying how good it is to cuddle with Nathan. And I'm like, that's a lie. That sounds like a lie.
She tweeted cuddle time.
Yeah.
And she, not tweeted, Facebook message it. And she did it. She Facebook posted and tagged me so that my phone would go off, reminding me to stop playing Twilight Struggle and come up to bed.
Okay. I was about to call it out as a lie.
That's passive aggressiveness.
Feel 90% of her Facebook messages are just to remind you you're doing something stupid. That's true. That's about 90% of why she's on Facebook.
90% of my Facebook messages are to remind me that I'm doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. I was going to try to call it out, and I'm really like, oh, I probably shouldn't. I'll probably get somebody in trouble.
I do hate when someone says, well, you see, FAU is okay because Miles had a broker FA2. I'm like, then fixed FA2 Miles. It doesn't mean it doesn't. Nothing
the problem
to do
with FAU is it's ripe for abuse.
Yeah.
As soon as anything makes it a little bit of a problem, FAU makes it an infinitely large problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ergo, Travis is fucking 70 Mechanithralls.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanithralls at 10 points for 10 guys is great if it's limited to 2 or 3 units.
Yeah.
I don't want to see 70 fucking.
And there are some lists that would just tear that to shreds. But like I said, so, you know, things.
But then
that
you got to bring a specific list just for that one corner case list.
Yeah,
I mean, it goes. I mean, when the Grimkin started off, those harvesters, whatever the pumpkin heads,
yeah,
dread rots.
Yeah,
when they were FAU at the very beginning, and people were like, "Hey, I'm going to post 5 lists of these things or 5 units of them." that was fucking broken.
Yeah.
And so it got limited. I don't see why we can't revisit the FA of everything.
We've been fixing War Machine all day today. FA, you go away. Let's just give things with souls and items, all their things right off the bat.
Objectives. Let's just have one objective and call one it a objective. Day.
Yeah, we fixed War Machine.
We fixed War Machine.
I have a t-shirt idea. We just made
War Machine great again. You're welcome.
I have a t-shirt idea, and I need to talk to my roommate about getting it made. Because I think we'll make a ton of them.
I want to wear one that says "Make War Machine Great Again."
I still need to order the Rydia Fans Path to Victory shirt. I forgot that existed until Chili posted it on his Facebook.
Oh,
step one, end turn. Step two, look at table. Step three, weep. That's my path to victory.
I still really enjoy the one you made that's just my face that says "Unplayable Trash." I love wearing that shirt. I love. The only person who's ever given me shit about wearing that shirt is Chad from Muse on Minis. Said you have to be a real narcissist to wear a picture of your own face on a t-shirt behind my back from a foot behind me to someone else that was a friend of mine who looked at him like, what?
It says unplayable trash.
It doesn't say best player in the universe. Come on.
It's like when JVM had his JVM is so 2011 shirt or whatever.
It's exactly like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as good a player as JVM. Well, obviously. Otherwise, it's exactly like that.
You're not as good at anything as JVM.
That's not true. I'm a fantastic Italian.
I'm sure he's probably a better one.
I don't even think he's Italian.
He's still better at it.
Jacob Van Meter. Van Meter's an Italian name, isn't it? Pasta fagioli.
Pasta fagioli.
Orecchietta tagliato.
Recommendations.
Yep.
I have two, but I don't have to go first.
I'm going to maybe steal Brian's, although it's a week early. None of you motherfuckers, a week from now, have any excuse. Well, I guess none of you motherfuckers who have a PlayStation, a week from now, will have any excuse for not having played the Tales from the Borderlands Telltale game because it is free next month. And it is the best of the Telltale Games games, which is saying a lot because every one of those games is fucking amazing.
Was that what you were just playing downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the best thing for it. I only know one person who's played it who hasn't liked it, and it's Jim.
Oh, he hasn't played it all, though. He only played like part of the first
episode. It was starting tomorrow, the only or it's free this last month?
It's one of the May games. Yeah. So they come out, I think, on Wednesday, the first Wednesday. So it's this coming Wednesday.
What if your PlayStation Online account expired because you forgot to give them a credit card?
You need to re-up it. Yeah, it'll be free all next month.
That's true.
It's only $50 a year. I mean, it's at a crazy good price.
I set it up, and then Discover was like, oh, we got hacked. Here's a new credit card. Yep. And it's once a year, so I didn't remember to update it. And then they were like, by the way, we're canceling your account. Go fuck yourself. I was like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, it's if you have a PlayStation and you don't play, and you like things that are cool and awesome, and you don't play this game, you're dumb. You're just fucking dumb.
It's fucking, it's so fun. It's funny, it's action-packed, it's emotionally gripped, it's great. It is great.
It is all, because, I mean, it's hilarious. It is actually a well-written story. Yeah. It's hilarious, and it's got that, and, you know, it's just, and it's action.
You care about the characters. It does an interesting thing none of the other Telltale games have done, which is have two protagonists that you hop back and forth between, so you see things from both their angles, which you know, it's interesting to see things from both sides, and it's really cool.
All right.
It's have you played any of the Telltale games?
No, not one.
Not? Fuck you. Well, good news. The best one's free this Wednesday.
There you go. All right. So I'll have to re-up my account.
Some of the other games might have single... Like, I think season one of The Walking Dead is the most emotionally powerful.
Okay.
But Tales from the Borderlands is the funniest, and gameplay-wise, I enjoyed it the most. Because with Walking Dead Season 1, the whole driving plot, you know, spoilers from like 10 minutes into the first episode, is that you rescue like a 10-year-old girl, and so you have to protect her in the world of zombies.
Right.
And so obviously she's this emotional investment. Sure. And so because of that...
So it's basically the entire plot to whatever that video game was?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, yeah.
But because of that, every decision I ever made, like the decision would pop up, and I would stop, and I'd go, okay, I need to make sure... This isn't Nathan doing what Nathan wants to do. No. This is the goal of the game is to make sure Clementine always loves me and trusts me, and I always protect Clementine. And so my choices were always best for Clementine.
Okay.
With Tales from the Borderlands, because it was less overtly emotionally impactful, didn't give two fucks. And so I played much more true to myself.
Right.
And I was much more free to go, let's see what happens if I do this, which means I saw some great shit happen. You know, I betrayed some people. I shot a guy. It was good
time. The options you get for dialogue are just phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been playing the character. My main character, Reese, I've just been playing him as if it was Jack.
Sure, yeah.
Pretty much.
And Reese would be so happy you played him as if he was Jack.
Walking Dead Season 2 has the best actual choice of a line, though.
Yep.
Still not bitten.
Still not bitten.
Is the best response in any of their games.
I just messaged it to Brian one day because I reached and I knew I'm like, all right, Brian will recognize this line because there's no way that wasn't also Brian's favorite line. So I just said, still not bitten. He's like, I know, right?
Yeah. By far the best three words they've put down.
Tales from the Lowlands has Loderbot. And I can die happy because I have experienced a loader bot.
Oh yeah, he is an event that you cannot prepare yourself for loader bot. You might think someone could tell you all about loader bot, you still would not be ready for loader bot.
Why does the universe punish the good? He's just ripping bandits in half. Wow, prodigal father, I have returned.
It's so beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing.
You get a loader bot,
right?
Yeah, like Borderlands 2 style, sure. A bot. You get one of those, and he's amazing.
Because Tales from the Borderlands takes place after 2.
Sure.
So time-wise, it's very interesting. And people, because it's basically your Hyperion employee, but you know Jack's dead and all these things. Right. So it's just like what happens after. It's pretty great.
Okay.
Oh man, I just speaking of like emotionally impactful. Not to spoil, but something happens in space that I even forgot about until now, and that's fucking deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, get it. It's free in 3 fucking days.
Okay. And again,
if you don't own a PlayStation, buy one. If you don't have PlayStation Plus, buy it. That kind of mitigates the free aspect.
It does mitigate. Because
maybe then you just buy the game
Steam.
For a different system?
Yeah, maybe just buy it on Steam.
Maybe, but either way, get the goddamn game.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy?
So I have 2 recommendations. The first one's actually a super old recommendation, but since I'm literally spending so much time on my phone that I'm forgetting about human interaction and every other game I'm supposed to be playing, I'm going to pimp the game Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. It's amazing. It's why Brian and I's phones are constantly dead. It's super fun. You battle with Star Wars characters. It's just a MOBA game. It's technically free, although it would not shock me if Brian has dumped $1,000 into the game.
I've thrown hundreds of dollars in the game. Yeah. Now, spoiler... Of the hundreds of dollars I spent, I also I sold over $3,000 on eBay.
So recently. So I
would sell something for $400, put in $50 in this game. Sell something for $500, put $100 in this game. So it wasn't like I just took $3,000 from my savings. It was just all...
But I'm just saying, you put a ridiculous amount of money into this game. I've played it mostly for free. I've spent less than $100 on it total.
See, I've spent nothing on Hearthstone, and so that's why... But I guess, Brian, you're not the same way.
That's just not how he plays things.
Well, like...
I've played Hearthstone almost for free.
I did, you know what? I did throw $5 at Hearthstone.
But you also got gift cards I got. You were able to get all the adventure packs. You want to buy the
adventure... I do buy the adventure packs.
Here's bullshit. So I have the first 2 adventure packs, because I bought them with the gift cards you got me for my birthday a couple years ago. The Heroes, the Explorer one, just cycled out.
Yep.
And you can't buy it.
Yep.
That's dumb. The adventure packs you should be able to buy.
They're a lot of fun.
Like, even when they say, like, I understand not being able to buy packs, but the adventures you should be able to buy even
when
they cycle out.
I'm actually surprised that you can't buy, because I can still play them. I own them. I can go back and play them.
Yeah, I can play the other 2 that I own, but I can buy the new one.
That was a fun one, too. Wasn't the Explorer one.
Most people say it's the best one.
Yeah, well, I can't buy it or ever play it.
Oh, that's kind of dumb. I bet they'll bring that back. They'll probably get a complaint because that was,
or there's got to be some. Maybe there's a bug. Maybe there's a way around it because that's weird.
I mean, I can probably use dust to make the cards, so like I can't argue. I know it's not the same experience.
And no, you can't because you can't craft any of the cards that come from the adventure pack.
Oh, then I'm just fucked. I guess I'll just uninstall Hearthstone.
And I like some games. Like if I play
Nathan's a game, second recommendation.
There's a few games I'll play where I'll give it like $10 or $15 over the course of life, and that's it. Usually, games if I play a game more than like 30 or 40 hours, I'm going to give it $5 or $10.
Yeah, me too.
That's why I have that rule as well. Like if I play your free game for like 100 hours, I'll give you $5. Yeah. And that's why plucky little Blizzard finally got $5 from me because I bought the I was like, I'm never going to buy cards, and then I decided to buy the welcome pack, the like $5 for like a unique legendary and like 10 packs. Like, all right, you can have $5. I've played Hearthstone enough.
Yeah. And then that's, can I get that? But like games like Star Wars, like Jeremy's put a little money into it. I figure the game's been out for 2+ years and I want to play it and I want to do things. There's certain things that go on in the game that you just can't do. If I was willing to just sit and play casually for like 2 years I could get to the point where I want to get. But I basically the money just speeds. It's just time. Money is time.
Money
it's
is
just,
time.
And I'm always a time over anything kind of a person. So it's like I just want to get to that point.
But I was going to say one of the best things about the way they did it. So there's two PvP aspects. You PvP land battles and you PvP space battles. In both cases, the way it determines who you fight against forever is as soon as you unlock the land battles or the space battles individually, when you unlock one of them, it pairs you with, I think it's 200 other people that also unlocked it at the same time as you, and then those are the 200 people you fight forever. Which means I never have to worry. Brian started the game like 3 months before me. I never have to worry about ever fighting a battle against Brian, because I can't. Because I can only fight people that have had the game as long as me. And it's interesting because you can see, because they've all been playing the same amount of time, you can see the people who paid money, and so they might be like, most people online on Reddit refer to them as just the whales of the game. Like, you'll have two or three people in your land battles, you're just like, I can't beat that person unless I spend $800. Great. But if I get fourth place, there's still huge prizes for fourth place, so fuck them. They can spend all the money they want. The game, I can free play fourth place.
And there's a lot of free aspects of the game.
There's a ton of free aspects.
It's just, money just speeds you along. Money doesn't make you win any better. Money doesn't give you anything better. It just speeds the time to get to these certain things faster.
So,
but in no way are you, no way do you win a battle better.
I highly recommend it. I think it's a super, super fun mobile game, and I play it on my phone way too fucking much. I play it so much, I bought a second charger for my phone so I can charge my phone at work, because my phone was dying at work playing this.
I started in December, and I still play constantly. I still play a couple hours a day.
Yeah. So, anyway, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, or SWGOH, as like the Reddit and everything are called. And then the other one is just a PS4 game I recently picked up. Did any of you guys ever play Dragon Quest Heroes back in like around 1990? Like, this is an old game, the original game.
No.
Okay, me neither. But there's a new game, Dragon Quest Heroes 2, which they apparently released as part of the 30th anniversary of a game I never played. And it's super fun. It's like old school, goofy graphics. It's one of those like host of characters, like 10 or 12 different party characters, and you can only have 4 active at a time. They have a twist where your main character, you can pick what class you want them to be. So the character you can't switch out, you can still switch the class. It's a lot of fun. Katie and I are both enjoying just playing through it. It's a hack and slash. With like some RPG elements, but it's mostly.
He won't finish the damn game I got him for his birthday.
Scares the shit out of me, and you know that.
I got him Until Dawn.
You got me Until Dawn.
Oh, Until Dawn's great.
I made it about an hour in, and then a girl got yanked out of a window, and I turned my PS4 off, and I didn't go back down to my basement for 2 weeks.
It's just starting. The fun is. Chapter 5 is so amazing.
Like,
it's
a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. I want to play it. I also want to sleep at night, and the two war within me constantly.
Just play well. Everybody can live.
I believe you. Not the way I play. Not a chance.
When I play,
God, can you live stream that with a face cam, please? Oh my God,
Katie! Literally, I was sitting on the couch with Katie, and I jumped up so fast and I smacked Katie when the window happened. Like the window happened, I jumped out of my chair in such shock that I smacked my wife.
Important question.
Yes.
Before she was yanked out the window,
she still had all her fucking clothes on.
You suck at this game.
I know.
I was getting so late in that scene. Raylene was pissed at me, and I was like, "Baby, you know I'm good at seducing women."
No, I'm apparently terrible at seducing women. Raylene
could not get laid. Raylene could not get that girl to take her pants off. I was all up in there.
To be fair, Katie makes all dialogue decisions.
Oh,
and
sure.
And Katie just makes everyone hate her. Like, at the end of each, like, section, they tell you, like, how you've changed people's personalities.
Yeah.
Every time, distrust and, like, loyalty and, like she maxes out distrust. She decreases loyalty. Every single character that changes dislikes everyone in the party a little bit more. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
All right. I ran this. All right. Recommendations?
My recommendation is that it's on Netflix now as a full season of season 2. Goddamn, you need to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
The new
season's really solid.
I don't know if I recommended it last week. If I did, I'm doing it again.
So. You didn't.
No.
Because, goddamn, that show is so good now.
Season 1, I was not impressed.
No.
This season's been amazing.
I'm only about halfway.
Shows take a little while to pick up.
And I'm okay with that.
But even, no.
Flash was good out of the gate.
Flash was good out of the gate.
Flash has always been amazing.
And
Flash was also terrible right out of the gate.
No.
That's okay. Flash was adorable out of the gate. And I love it.
Yeah. The Legends of Tomorrow, first season, they had at least in my opinion, the biggest flaw of that show was they had the main character who was telling everybody else that you can't change time. I want you to join my team so we can go save my wife and change time.
Yeah.
So you had 17 episodes of them just, stupidness.
Season two has great villains.
Oh, the villains! They
have an episode that's just focused around the villains.
I love when the villains do the voiceover. The episode where the villains do the voiceover is amazing.
I'm just after.
Have they introduced the Legion of Doom?
No.
Okay, then you aren't there.
I've seen them in the title, so you didn't spoil anything there. But I love everything that they're doing with Rory. Him in the Shogun era when he's trying to look for ninjas and proving that they exist is probably one of my favorite episodes ever. He was just so excited that there's a potential for ninjas.
He was very excited. He was
very excited.
Yeah.
Everything they do with his character has been golden this season. Oh. And it's got me to the point where I almost want to watch Prison Break because I know that he's on that show.
Yeah.
And I had no desire to watch Prison Break. Snark's his brother.
Yeah, I know. But he's on Prison Break too.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that until I started watching this.
A lot of Prison Break references.
All right, so here we go, Andy. Here's the important question. Have you heard Rory do the voiceover yet?
No, I just got done with the Capone episode. Okay. Actually, Capone is the last episode I just
Rory
watched.
Rory does, like, in two or three episodes past that, Rory does the voiceover.
at the very beginning, when they're going over the, like, we're not, just call us
only
legends.
It's Rory's perspective on them.
It's pretty good.
It's glorious.
I've never been seen a show take that big of a turnaround.
Yeah.
That I really can remember.
Parks and Rec. To me, it makes me think of Parks and Rec.
God, season one Parks so, Rec was bad,
and then everything else so good.
Yeah, it's
close.
It's the only one that I can compare it to, though.
Season one is watchable, though.
Of Legends of Tomorrow?
No, of Parks and Rec.
Disagree. I will never watch it again.
Disagree.
You miss nothing by not watching it.
Sure.
Also, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah.
Legends of Tomorrow. Good choice. Need to watch it. It's
Colony is a show that season one. It's nowhere. Even season two is nowhere as good as Legends season two. Legends of Tomorrow. But season one to me was mediocre. Season two was almost pretty enjoyable.
Hmm. Oh, is that the one with what's her name from The Walking Dead?
It's like Elsa Sawyer from Lost.
Yeah.
It's basically it reminds me of XCOM 2. Well, because the aliens have taken over.
Yeah, saw their arms off and put them in a robot.
Unlike the first one, wasn't it a mediocre sequel?
Yeah. My recommendation is twofold. One, I'm going to recommend something that most people will not like, and that's fine. The show is on its final season, season three, The Leftovers. I think it's the greatest thing ever, and I think if you have 100 people watch it, 99 of them will punch me in the face for watching
one episode. Of them will love it.
One of them is going to thank me.
Is that the HBO one where like the
2% of the world vanishes?
Yeah, 2% of the world vanishes.
I think it has the best writing, some of the best acting on TV. And the story is super compelling, and I think it's fascinating, but also I know people who watch it, and they just want to just go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I'm going to murder you for watching a second of it. But I can't get enough of it. And if they can finish this season, and it's...
What about it is so divisive? Like, why do the people who you think don't like it
don't like it? It's just really weird. It's both slow. It's just very intensely slow at times, but it's just... And it's really out there at all different angles. Hmm. It's hard to explain without watching it, but it's just... People just get really angry and unlike it. But I have a few friends at work where we talk about it. We're just so excited. And the way they there's so many layers to the show. And it's just, and there's so many subtle things. And it's, and the performances of the actors and actresses, it no show has the quality of actresses this show has by far. Like last season was just phenomenal. Some of the dialogues and the discussion and just the acting, the quality was just superb. But it's really weird because basically the final season, like, season one was, you know, it was a couple years after the thing, and it just shows people just, because basically if 2% of the world vanishes, it just kind of cracks society a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just trying to recover it. In season two, the cast, some of the people moved to this town where not one person was vanished from it. And the town was called Miracle, so it all kind of robbed. There was all those people would think it was mystics. It was all mystery of the town.
Sure.
And season three is kind of that with like this whole Australia angle. And like the main character, it's like he can't die in the city. And he dies and he wakes up in this hotel, like this afterlife thing. It's really crazy. But it's just so, it is so fucking bizarre. But it is just so well made. It is, nothing on TV right now is as well performed as in, and is doing its own thing as much as this. I mean, I love a lot of TV, but nothing is literally swinging for the fences as hard as this show and pulling it off in so many ways. But I can, if any person said I saw it and I hate it, I'd be like, sure, I can, I get it. But it's just bizarre.
And my second recommendation, I forgot. So
I got one more.
Well, I want okay. Well, I'll do mine because I don't want to steal and be the anchor person. Because mine's a repeat, but I'm going to repeat it because the last two times I recommended it, it was a blind recommendation, and now I'm recommending having actually experienced it. The new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 is everything Mystery Science Theater 3000 has ever been. They captured all the magic. It's fucking hilarious. Watch it.
Good to know.
So on a whim, I decided that I would put on Into the Badlands. I don't know if you've seen commercials for it. It is kind of like a pseudo Japan.
But it's the future, right?
It's way in the future, where it's a lot of kung fu, a lot of action.
Okay. Movie
it's,
or game? Or
it's a TV AMC, show.
Yeah. They throw all their guns away and they go to kung fu fighting.
Correct.
Okay.
It's, oddly enough, really goddamn good.
Season 2's out right now on AMC.
Correct. The season 1, there's only 6 episodes. It's all on Netflix now, yep. I believe. We decided to watch it on a whim. We're like, hey, this, you know, it'll probably be bad. And honestly, it's really good. The action is a little wiry at times. But overall, the storyline for the first season, we're not done with it yet, but so far
is Jim watching it?
Jim is watching with me.
He usually hates... I mean, I don't mind wiry kung fu, but Jim usually gets a little bit of a...
Usually hates it? He was very intrigued with this as well. He likes it, which I found odd.
Did the nuclear bomb explode yet? And then I realize they're...
But,
that's a Jericho reference.
Yeah. No, but Into the Badlands is... It feels very anime. It feels in that same vein, and it does it well. It's got very... and the other really cool thing about it too is, from my understanding, it's an original work. It has no book that's referencing. It's got nothing, no comic or anime. It's all just original, other than things that influenced it.
Sure,
it's pretty darn cool. Sets are really cool. It's shot well. Actions don't feel like they're 50,000 cuts a second. The costumes are awesome. It's I really like the show. Nice. Characters well drawn out.
Yeah, it looks intriguing. I'm playing the long game. Once season 2 is on Netflix, I'm going to watch season 1 and 2. But I want to watch it. Someone in our chat asked if any of us were playing have played the Batman Telltale game. I played the first 20 minutes of it, and then I got distracted. And I think it was good. I just got distracted, like moved on. That's the kind of thing where if I'm going to sit down, I could just, over the course of like 2 days, just finish it. I just haven't started the 2-day process of it. Like, oh, Heroes of the Storm 2. That's what I was recommending. Here's the Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Storm version 2, which is really the exact same thing as 1, except they added like loot chests in it.
Yeah, they took out just buying skins and put them in as chests now.
Yeah, right? There's multiple. Yeah, you can get everything. You can just win everything for free. There is some money stuff involved. You can still, like, there's like different currencies, but I played a fuck ton of that game over the weekend. And there's a lot of, like, if you play with friends like 5 times a week for the next month, you get free things in all the games. They synergize, you know, like they always do. A lot of
cool
do.
Stuff in Heroes.
They synergize all the games. They synergize
in Overwatch.
Well, we were playing today from 2 to
text me.
2 I was to come here.
I played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You shouldn't work.
I'll be playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I work Monday and Tuesday, then I'm off for like 6 straight days, and man, am I going to do jack shit.
Well, there isn't that many new skins, but it's basically they divided up all the skins as its own price point.
Well, but so, there are a lot. Like, I mean, I haven't played in a while, admittedly. I could chop back in for 2.0 because you guys were talking about it. But I feel like there's a lot more skins available.
Well, it's basically...
Like, each character has, like, 10.
Because there are color changes.
Oh,
it's the
okay.
same skin
oh,
okay. with, like, three different colors.
So you have
colors.
To win the skin multiple times with color. Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, where it used to be to get the skin and then
and
you just
change
the
colors. Oh, okay.
Lame. Yeah.
Cassia is my new favorite character.
Zeratul still works. I was playing... I mean, we were playing AI, but... I was playing Zeratul. I was like, hey, I remember how to play this guy.
I don't remember how to play anything. Jerry, I know when you play Zagara, you constantly talk about how good she is so that Plumber gets angrier and angrier.
God, he got so mad.
He hates her so much. Not only and that, she's good.
We tilted him one day playing Gang Squad. He got so mad at us.
That was you and me back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, got Gang Squad.
We were doing Gang Squad, and we were having a bad game
Zeratul
at it.
Zeratul Nova. And Nova is the Gang Squad.
And we were failing once. More than we were succeeding. We would still shut Gang Squad and go in.
Every time we attacked, we yelled Gang Squad.
And he got so mad and started yelling Tank Squad and just solo tried to
solo
kill.
Charging as a tank.
So, oh my God. So that's not as that can't be as bad as the day that I learned how to, or I did not learn how to play, what's his name? Hat Guy.
Hat Guy.
Oh, Abathur. Abathur. Yeah, the Abathur day. That was a great day of where we lost against AI.
Somebody needs to two-headed giant me.
Cho'Gall?
Yeah.
I have Cho'Gall.
I need to get Cho'Gall.
I have Cho'Gall. You should play when I'm playing.
Yeah, you should
I'm
play.
I'm probably gonna go home and play.
Okay.
I'm gonna go watch Leftovers.
I'm gonna go play WoW with Chris.
I'm gonna play not tomorrow because tomorrow's Gloomhaven.
Oh, but Kaya ate my speakers.
Oops.
I got home and one of the speakers was on the ground, and then I picked it up and the wire wasn't attached anymore.
It would have been funny if it like went into her mouth and it's like she walked around, what's going on?
You guys have Gloomhaven around? The one night I have to play is tomorrow because Katie's back Tuesday night, you son of a bitch. Yeah.
Gloomhaven. What? Gloomhaven.
Yeah. We play Gloomhaven every Monday.
But I can't play Gloomhaven, and also you won't be on
Heroes. You can come watch us play Gloomhaven.
Jeremy, you could join Chris and my group of Gloomhaven when he gets it.
Oh, the Kickstarter. He's buying Gloomhaven too.
Yeah, screw these other guys.
Screw these other guys, and they're not a fun.
When I quit, you can replace me.
When you quit?
I'm slowly becoming more antisocial. And so when I decide I don't want to ever leave the house anymore.
That's fair.
You can have my Gloomhaven spot.
I keep wanting to do that, but I keep getting all these social game things. I'm like, damn, this is not working.
Activities with other people literally every single night of the week.
I am so exhausted, and all I want to do is not talk to anyone, and I'm going out like all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what is wrong
with
you.
Like me and Jordan, I'm like, Jordan,
the same way.
Jordan doesn't leave the house ever. I'm like, Jordan, you're so, you got it right. He comes, he works, comes home from work, and just plays WoW till like 4 in the morning, goes to bed, gets up, plays WoW, and it's like 4 in the morning. He's got the perfect life. He's not doing a thing.
Other than playing WoW.
I'm halfway to the perfect life, then. Just got to get rid of this podcast shit.
There you go. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
So I guess we did recommendations for like an hour, so we're probably done.
We're rambling now. We're just sadly just still going.
That's fair.
Well, I'll stop
everyone.
Bye, everybody.